please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
Come on, boiler room.
Yeah, we're fucked up. Oh, the wrong door.
Yeah, somehow the apes are back.
Honk, 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 honk.
I have a month's worth of beans.
Makes me want to ride an escalator at a mall.
All we ever do is mention things.
Right out of the box, I'm having fun.
Mad at a room.
Live, on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. DJs, welcome to the program, episode 36J of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. 36 Jimmy! That's not a movie, so I can say it. Nobody gets worried. Oh, did he give something away? He didn't. That's my name, and you guys have been listening to the program long enough to know that. If you don't know my name by now, go find another podcast, because this is not the one for you, because my name...
You don't know my name by now. You may never.
So a list yesterday of the top 10 protest songs of the 80s.
Oh.
Wow.
The top 10 protest songs of the 80s. Garrett, see if you can find that list.
I can think of one.
What?
Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Sure.
That's not a rebel song.
I know it's not a rebel song, but it is a protest song.
All right, it is a protest. And that was on the list.
Okay.
Of course, not going to play Sin City, or Sun City, rather.
Sure. Yeah.
Sun City, not going to play Sun City is on there.
Is the Final Countdown in there?
Is that a protest song?
Well, I always thought it was about, like, either the end of the world or the end of the Berlin Wall or something like that.
It might have obliquely been about that, but yeah.
Wait, we got a Hasselhoff on that list? He performed right there on that wall.
He did. Did you find that list, Garen?
Is it from Hub Pages?
Oh, I thought of another one.
What do you got?
Fight the Power by Public Enemy.
That is on it, and I believe so is Fuck the Police.
Oh, sure. Okay.
That I believe that is on the list.
To me, a bit of a stretch to call that a protest song, but yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because that was not their intention. It is political in the sense that there was police brutality that they were responding to, but it was also just a like they did, NWA just did like to be they like getting attention by doing something sort of noisy, and that's what they were doing.
I see.
I think they probably
revisionist history would probably say, oh no no, we meant it. They didn't care about that issue. They were just like, yeah, fuck the police.
Interesting. I did not know that. I would have assumed as a guy that does not listen to that music, that if you see the title "Fuck the Police," that would be a protest against police.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they sat down and they were like, but if you listen to that album and all of their music, I don't think you would get the. It's not like Public Enemy where it's an explicitly political group. NWA was not political. They were just like guys living their lives. And because it was sort of the birth of gangster rap, or them and Ice-T sort of invented that genre. And it was like, it was just a very street level reaction to what was happening. And I guess in a broad sense, you could call that a protest, but I don't think they were trying to affect political change with that song. They were just going, hey, fuck those guys.
I don't know if they were trying to affect it, but it's certainly commentary, which would be a protest.
Yeah.
So the Buffalo Springfield song, for what it's worth, you know, is about a specific thing, but it is considered a protest song.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe this list will help us out. Maybe this expert, and probably when I say expert, it's just some jackass music journalist, I would imagine.
Yeah.
If this is the right list.
Yeah, I don't know if it is, Gary.
Number 10?
Yeah.
Dear God, Ecstasy?
Dear God by XTC.
Huh. Is that protesting the church, I guess?
Dear God.
Dear God strongly protests the existence of God, the validity of the Bible, and God's benevolence.
Before you go on with the list, I got to imagine something by Sinead O'Connor's got to be in there, right?
Hmm. Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Holiday in Cambodia by Dead Kennedys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stop the Violence, Boogie Down Productions.
Yeah, Boogie Down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're on there.
Sunny Bloody Sunday.
That was a huge...
That is not a rebel song.
Stop the Violence brought together, like, tons of different... It's Boogie Down Productions, but it was like every rapper of the time was on that track. And it was a big deal. There were t-shirts and everything.
I don't know how big of a deal. It's number 7.
Well, it was 8.
Number 8, was it?
They got bumped back.
Yeah, it got bumped back. See?
I mean, I guess it didn't
already, it's already losing rank, Matt.
Yeah.
Number 6, Garen.
Number 6, Nelson Mandela by The Special, aka Is that what they're actually called? The special AKA?
The special AKA or the specials?
It says the special AKA, but the YouTube video they have says the specials. So I'm guessing it must be the specials.
Yeah, I think it's this. Yeah.
There's some kind of weird.
They're also known as.
Error.
Something.
I don't know. Number five.
Yeah.
Rockin' in the Free World, Neil Young.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure. Very good. Fair.
Number four, Biko, Peter Gabriel?
Yeah, Biko. Biko.
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
Oh, you do. You've heard it.
Biko, Biko all day. Jack and Macafina on Monday.
It is not that.
Oh, no. Biko.
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 Biko, Biko all day.
Yeah. Another classic song from the anti-apartheid protest movement. Biko is from Peter Gabriel's third self-titled album.
I do remember Peter Gabriel being a big part of the anti-apartheid movement, but I don't. So I must have heard that song.
You've heard this song.
I just don't know it.
Number three?
It was played a lot. Not, I mean, not as much as the anything off Soap or, yeah, or Shock the Monkey, but it was played a lot.
This was is the right list?
I don't know.
Was there a was there a claymation video that went along with it?
There was some.
Because
yeah, yeah,
otherwise, I don't care. I don't need to know about it.
That's fair.
Straight to Hell by The Clash.
I don't think this is the same list. Go ahead.
Redemption Song by Bob Marley and the Wailers.
I was thinking something Marley, but I didn't know what was in the 80s for 80s. Him.
Yeah, exactly.
And then number one,
yeah,
Fight the Power by Public Enemy.
All right. That is not the same list because Fuck the Police was on the list that I saw.
Hmm.
Which, again, is the reason that I was able to say it as quickly as I did. Not like that is top of mind.
You didn't listen to it on the way up?
I did not. You know what I listened to on the way up? And it's taken me 2 days to find this. And it's going to take me maybe 30 seconds to find it now. But it took me... okay, let's see if I can. Okay, hang on. I think it's coming right here.
Oh, is this the song?
Here it is. Found it.
What is it?
It is a song. I was right. I said it's a song by, remember I said I think I'm singing John Hunter? It's a song by John Hunter called Why Does It Have to Rain? But it took me, you know, putting all of John Hunter's songs on shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not fucking around when I tell you that I heard it, if it's 10:24 now, 9:55 this morning. And I went,
wow,
after we were here on Monday, it's now Thursday. I mean, I wasn't listening, you know, nonstop.
Yeah.
But whenever I had the opportunity. So I finally found it right before this. And that's what I was singing. So it is from the 80s, okay, as I was right, but it was not a hit like I thought it was.
I don't even know who John Hunter is.
You would not. He had one hit, a song called Tragedy, that was might have gone up to 37 at the most.
Uh-huh.
He was from Chicago. He was in a band called The Hounds.
Okay.
And then he went solo. And then he, I believe now he lives in Temecula and raises horses. Yeah. Or is that breeds horses?
Yeah, that's a big, there's a big bunch of stables down in Temecula, like a big horse show place.
Well, he was, when he was in the Hounds, they had a song called Horses, and then he did a different version of it as a solo artist. So this dude's been into horses.
That guy loves his horses.
Loves a horse.
Okay.
And he's the guy, and Oliver makes fun of me. Because I told the true story. So there was a listening party. CBS Records had a listening party for the, the Rolling Stones album in 1985. It's the one with Harlem Shuffle on it. Why can't I pull the name of that album? Garen, please, I beg of you. Put me out of my misery.
It is.
That's Before Steel Wheels.
It is a. It's
Dirty Work?
Dirty Work. Which is, I like the album, but Rolling Stones fans will tell you it is the worst Rolling Stones album.
Uh-huh.
So the CBS Records had a listening party, and that meant that other CBS artists also were there, and John Hunter was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, at a party, went up to John Hunter in 1985 as a 19-year-old. Kid, I went up to him and I said, oh, by the way, John lived right near the mall that I worked at. So he would, it turns out he would go there quite a bit. We just didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
But so I go up to him and I just say, John, you know, I work at Lincoln Mall. This is fucking embarrassing. I'm at a party. They're playing the Rolling Stones very loudly.
Mm-hmm.
People are mingling. People are drinking. I would imagine people are doing a lot of blow.
Sure.
And I wasn't. Daver wasn't. We were, you know, the two nerds there.
Yeah.
And I went up to and he had I have a photograph from that time of him. He had dark glasses on and very 80s clothing. And I went up to him and I said, hey, John, I just want to let you know, my name is John. I work at JR's in Lincoln Mall. I go shop there. And this and that and the other. And then I said, I just want to let you know, every year I put together a top 25 albums list. And for 1984, God damn it, this is going to be horrible.
Slow motion car crash at this point.
I feel like now you're dragging your heels on the story just because
I'm so embarrassed.
I can't wait.
And you guys are going to think it's no big deal, but trust me, my son makes fun of me. So I said, I put together a list. So for 1984, your album, Famous of Night, came in at number 2. And to be honest, it would be number 1. But I'm such a big Chicago fan, I had to put Chicago 17 at number 1.
Oh, my God.
Just out of allegiance to them. And I'm saying this is all coming. This is out loud.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, cool, man. Because what else are you going to say to this fucking idiot? Who? Why? I would have punched me.
Oh my
Stop
God.
Talking.
Oh, Jimmy Pardo. Yes. I'm a real big fan. I just want you to know I've ranked all of my favorite comedians.
Yeah.
And you're number 2.
Yes.
I had to put Jay Leno number 1 because my dad loved Jay Leno. And it's just out of like loyalty to my dad.
The way you said it, though, the way you just said it is like, well, that's quite a compliment. Thank you very much. I appreciate being number 2. It did not come, whatever the fucking scene you just did, it did not come across that way at all.
Yeah.
It came across pathetic and sad. And I remember walking away going, God, I wish I could take all that back.
Well, the main thing is, you didn't have to tell him anything.
I don't have to tell him any of it.
But if you do, you also could just go, and I made you number 1. Who gives a shit? He's never going to fact check that.
Here's the other thing I could have said. You were one of my favorite albums of the year.
Yeah.
That's all that had to be said.
Right.
No. Nerd Pardo has to tell him he's number 2 and why.
And that's what's so amazing.
What kept him out of the top spot?
You rip on Elliot and me for being pedantic, but that is the ultimate in pedantry. Like, unnecessary detail that only serves to make you look worse.
Yes,
and kind of insult him.
I was 19 and I've worked on myself, fellas.
Right. Okay, well. Some of us take a little longer.
I guess that's what I'm getting at.
It's the journey, you know?
That's why it's embarrassing. Garen, have you found that list?
No. All right. I mean, Rolling Stone has a top 100 list of all time. But
that ain't that, talking 80s.
That ain't it, Steve. That's an inside joke in my house. If my son listens to this episode, I'll get a nice charge out of that. His friend Saisha, by the way, loves this show.
That's, wow.
Loves it.
That's crazy to me.
Loves it.
Is that why she came here? Because she's secretly a fan and she didn't want to, she wanted to be here. Just like anybody who's a fan of the show would probably like to sit in on an episode. But I had no idea that that was true. I didn't know she had ever listened to it.
I don't know how many episodes sans Oliver, how many sans Oliver episodes she listened to, but at least she has listened to all the ones with Oliver.
Okay.
And she thinks it's hysterical.
That's great.
And I mean, I have to remind myself that she's an 18-year-old girl, or 18-year-old, if I may, an 18-year-old woman.
Yeah.
It is not the 14-year-old freshman in high school. And why would,
right.
You know, it's an adult.
But it's also weird because over the years, we've gotten emails from high school kids who are like, hey, I love your show. And we're always like, oh, that's kind of crazy, but it's kind of nice. It's good that a high schooler can enjoy this just the way. When we were growing up, we probably enjoyed comedy that wasn't for us, but we liked it. And it kind of made us feel like maybe like, oh, I'm aspiring to understand some of these jokes that I don't quite get or whatever. It's just different when it's a friend of one of your children. It sort of puts it in a different context. And suddenly it's like, wait, what?
Yeah. What? Why?
But her liking it is no different than someone who emailed us in season 1 and said they liked it. It's the same.
At all. I mean, the only difference then in season 1 would be that we were 19 years younger.
mean, that's fair. Yeah.
I mean, we were a little closer to high school age.
But we're young at heart, Jimmy.
You know, to your point, you know, one of my favorite comedians when I was in high school was a guy named Pete Barbuti, who was, you know, if I went to school and said, hey, did you guys all see Pete Barbuti on the Tonight Show last night? They would all stare at me like all they understood was last night of that sentence.
Yeah.
So, Pete Barbuti's still alive and well, lives in Las Vegas, and I don't know if he performs anymore. But I used to get an. He was an alternative comic before that was the thing.
Mm.
And I have not yet. I think somebody, maybe Babco. Might have been Babco and I. Babco might be a fan of his.
Hmm.
If not, maybe Dog. It's Dog or Babco. It's one of the two.
I've definitely heard the name before. I just assume it's from you.
I can guarantee it.
But it may have been you talking to one of those two people when I was sitting there.
Yeah, I'm guessing nobody in your life has mentioned Pete Barbuti, and you've never seen a clip of Pete Barbuti.
No.
There's not a reason to.
He's lived in Vegas since 1960.
Is that right?
It says he currently performs as 1/4 of the comedy troupe The Four Jokers, which is based in Nevada.
Who else is in that? I mean,
well, that's a good
what
question.
If it's three other dudes that I loved when, you know, yeah. when they would show up on The Tonight Show, and then mm-hmm. now you get to go and see them each do 20 minutes?
Yeah.
I'm on board. I'll fly to Vegas for that.
How old this gentleman is?
I'm going to say Pete Barbuti is 82 years old.
That's a good guess. He's 90.
Holy shit.
Wow.
His birthday is in 3 days. He'll be 91.
Check and see if there's an email online here. Let's send him a birthday wish.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Pete Barbuti.
Hmm. All right, wait, let's
90 years old. Good heavens. Good
He's
heavens.
He's older than our parents.
Our condolences to the Barbuti family.
Yeah, you're right.
So yeah, I guess
what's he got? He's got 3 weeks. He's got 3 weeks. 3 weeks max.
Pete Barbuti, Jay Johnson.
I like Jay Johnson. He's the guy with the puppet. He's the guy from Soap.
Mark Schiff.
Oh.
Mark Schiff is not Seinfeld. Larry Miller, Paul Reiser, Mark Schiff, and there's a fourth guy are all great friends. Mm. Who's the fourth?
Scott Wood.
My condolences to Scott Wood. I don't know who you are. I don't know
creator
how.
Creator and star of the upcoming sitcom My Life and Punchlines.
Well, that
the upcoming.
When sitcom. Was that written? When was that line written? In 1974,
February 22nd, 2024.
Okay, so a year ago
they were here at the La Mirada Theater.
Who was
the four Jokers?
The Four Jokers.
How does Barbuti get around at 90?
That's he looks insane. Great for 90.
You know, can I tell you something, Aaron? He's looked like that since he was on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Pete Barbuti has looked he looked 90 then. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I don't know if that's true. It could be one of those things where when you're a young
when
person.
When you're a kid, everyone looks old. Let's see this picture.
Don't miss this night of clean and classic comedy. It's a video that I'm looking at.
Yeah, these guys are clean and classic.
That's the two C's.
That's what you want. I tell you what, nobody's cleaner or more classic than Scott Wood.
Color, clarity, clean, classic. Sure. That's what you look for in a comic.
Absolutely. I've never heard of Scott Wood in my entire life. And I've been doing comedy for almost 40 years,
yeah.
And I've never heard of Scott Wood.
And he's apparently good friends with Pete Barbuti, so it's crazy that you haven't heard him.
And here's the thing. There's a lot of young comics whose names I don't know, but there's Pete.
There he is.
He looks, I'm not fucking around. Oh, Garrett, can you pull up a picture of him from 1981 or 1979? Because you will go,
I recognize
which
him.
One's which?
Are you sure that that's a recent photo?
I'm pretty sure it is. It looks like in the video.
Because
I recognize him.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen him, like I didn't go to La Mirada.
I understand that.
What if he had and you didn't tell us? Of all the boring stories he tells, he skips the one where like, I saw one of your favorite comics from your childhood.
Elliot,
in La Mirada.
I've saved you. The amount of emails I got on your Burr Lives thing is just...
Speaking of Jeff Babko, I had lunch with him the other day and he mentioned the
Burr
Lives. He's like, I just got through the Burr Lives saga. And I was like, yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes you got to experiment.
You know what? I'm not mad at you. I'm truly not.
Thank you.
No. Garrett, are you pulling up another Pete Barbuti or can we move on?
They're not. They're few and far between, but here's one of him on The Tonight Show.
So that haircut he's been sticking with the haircut.
Yeah, it was kind of part of his thing with he's got like a
page boy, right?
It's like a page boy, but then it's also like 70s in the back.
It's not just Mo.
No, but it's not.
It's kind of like halfway between
from the Three Stooges,
a bowl cut and right. the Beatles from their like mid-air.
I wonder if he heard from the Mo Howard Estate and had to grow it out a little bit in the back. So it's not so Mo because they had a problem with it.
You know what he is? He's Mo in the front, party in the back. That's what Barbuti does.
Mo in the front, Schmo in the back.
Larry. Mo Schmo, huh?
Yeah.
All right, listen. That's great stuff. Good luck.
That's great stuff.
I
agree.
Now, here's something that is not interesting, but it is relevant to this program. I left here Monday. We did our program, and then you and Elliot and I had a meeting, which we occasionally will do, have somewhat of a business meeting. Mm. And then I was racing to go somewhere. I forget where I was racing to go. I don't know if I had a doctor or
probably a doctor.
What I had. I mean, that makes the most sense. But I don't think that's the case. Did I on Monday?
I don't know.
No, you were doing something for someone. You were like a audio thing, I think.
Right.
Thank you, Garen. Yeah. That's exactly right.
You were booked for something.
That's right. I was booked. I don't know. I did a thing for Greg Warren, friend of the show. Greg Warren is going to on one of the comedy channels on Sirius XM. They are airing his new special in clips. Mm-hmm. And he's having his a certain number of his friends come on and help introduce the clips. And so I'm introducing his Walgreens Knights clip. Nice. And so it's just a minute and a half of nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I mean nonsense. but I had a great time. I was there for about an hour, and it took 4 minutes to record. And then Greg and I, you know, just laughed. And, this Walgreens Knights clip that I listened to, because I wanted to hear it. They send it to you. They even say in the email, you know, we don't expect you to listen to it, but if you want, here it is. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it because Greg's funny.
Yeah.
And I was in my car laughing out loud. And nice. You know how hard that is in comedy when you're doing it again, as long as I have, or as long as even all of us in this room have been doing it. Greg has a unique voice, and it's nice to listen to it. At any rate, I was driving down Fulton here. I was taking Fulton to Riverside, and then Riverside to blah, 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 to go to Burbank. I was avoiding the freeway, which I believe saved me, according to Waze, maybe a minute.
Yeah.
And I had you would have thought, as I was driving down Fulton, that I was seeing the biggest celebrity in the world. I got so excited. Oh. You know who that person was?
Elliot Hopper.
Garen Cochran. I saw Garen, and I'm not lying, I got giddy.
That's
and
so
I,
funny.
I rolled,
Wild Garen has appeared.
I rolled down the window, and what did I yell, Garen?
I sounded like the F slur, to be honest.
No, it was not.
I was on the phone, so I heard. Was it Garen Sucks?
Garen Sucks.
Yes, okay, that's what you yelled.
Yelled out Garen Sucks, gave a thumbs up, gave a beep. What does that say?
Oh, this is a shirt that Zoe was just in New York on a choir trip, and she got me this great shirt from a tourist shop.
It says, fuck you fucking fuck.
Yeah.
I believe that's in reference to Donald Trump, is it not?
Well, it is to me. I don't know if that was the intention of it.
I believe it is. I think it's something that maybe De Niro might have said.
Oh.
I think so.
You're right.
I think it's...
Well, what's funny is that she told me the store she bought it from also had a bunch of MAGA stuff for sale, and she was looking at it, and the guy was like, you want that $20? She was like, no.
No, I don't. Well, just like our Go Fuck Your Gun shirts.
Can't really wear that anymore. I told her when, you know, I got a chuckle out of it, and I was like, well, I'm going to wear this on the show because this is the only place I can wear it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll put my sweatshirt back on and leave.
Yeah, it's I did have a doctor's appointment the other day, and I put my go fuck your gun shirt on. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, you know, they're going to take your jacket off for the cuff for the blood pressure.
Yeah.
And while I'm guessing that here in Los Angeles, I guess the point of the shirt is to spread the fucking word. Mm-hmm. But I also don't know if the waiting room at the doctor's office is the right place to have that shirt.
Well,
you know, with children. And
yeah, I guess that's the main thing is, like, you think about, like, walking by someone with a small child and you just feel bad.
I think the sentiment is great. Sentiment is great. But again, sitting there waiting to see a doctor with go fuck your gun on it. It, you know, if it said go anything else, you know, guns bad. I'd be happy to wear that shirt.
Guns bad.
With the Frankenstein monster or Tonto or the caveman or who is the other one? The SNL sketch?
No, I think it was. Wait.
No, caveman was a different character.
Are you talking about Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer?
Yeah, but they did the other character. It was Tonto,
Tarzan?
Frankenstein, Tarzan.
Yeah, I think that was just the three.
Just the three?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Anyway, that was funny. The premise of these characters that just say two words.
Do you remember I'm sure you do. When it was an episode of SNL in the late 80s, probably early 90s, where Bill Murray was hosting, and you're going to know it once I say it.
Okay.
He was playing Hercules. And it was like dubbed over, like the whole premise was like, it was like middle-aged Hercules. And he was like, I can't lift that rock. I could maybe lift a smaller rock. But like all of the dialogue it was like as if it was like a foreign film that they had dubbed over. You don't remember that?
I don't.
I only bring it up because it comes up in the Lorne book. Apparently after that sketch aired, Eddie Murphy called the offices and said, that's the funniest sketch that SNL's ever done. And which is mind blowing to me that Eddie Murphy in his absolute prime was watching SNL. Yeah. He's like, I got to make a phone call.
They got to know.
So weird.
Get Lauren on the phone. It's Eddie.
Yeah.
I was at the Home Depot on Tuesday, and I had to get a light switch
plate.
Plate.
Yeah.
I was looking, you know, I just was looking at, you know, you can get one for 99 cents, you get one for $1.40, or you can get one for some reason for $17. And so I know I didn't want the 99 cent one.
Yeah.
I wanted something a little more, whatever, who gives a fuck? Mm. So I just happened to be staring, and I look over, and an employee of Home Depot comes over, and he's got a, we've talked about this all the time, he's got an American flag hat on. Okay. And he's and I see him walking towards me, I'm like, oh, okay. And I go, it's and again, I think it's insane that the second we see an American flag these days, we instantly think MAGA.
You go, uh-oh.
And so he comes over and he's like, and I had on my Limestone Comedy Festival T-shirt. And he looked and he goes, oh, Limestone Comedy. I'm like, God damn it. You know, I don't want to talk to anybody anyway. And then let alone, you know, flag hat.
Right.
And he goes, hey, are you a comedian? I went, yeah. And he goes, well, thanks for all you do. We need comedy these days. You know, it's fucking weird out there. And okay. I said, I'm like, yeah.
Slightly hopeful. Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. And then we're chatting and it's still very vague, very vague, very, where's this go? Where's this go? And then he goes, let me tell you something. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And he said, I get up at 5:30 to get ready for work. I get up at 5:30. I take my shower, I shave, I then have a half hour before I have to come to work. And so while I'm having my breakfast, I watch the Jimmy Kimmel monologue and I watch the Stephen Colbert monologue. Love and he goes, and while they're talking about what's awful in our country, they're at least spinning it in a comedic way and it makes me feel better about coming to work. And like,
love
and
it.
I was in. David, my name is Jimmy, a pleasure to talk to you. And then I saw him helping other customers and I think he's the greatest Home Depot employee of all time.
That's great.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm all for taking the symbol back. Like I've been saying that for a long time. Like we need to take it back. It's supposed to represent
all of us.
Our country,
all of us.
Everyone, and not just the. But the reality is, we all see that and go gulp.
Now we do
because of what you know the kind of person who's like, look at this. They tend to be
well. The good news is that most of the ones who are really that way put an extra color stripe in there somewhere.
Well, there's the blue light, there's the blue thing, there's the weird like goth version of the flag. They think that's like
it's like the Punisher version.
Yeah, that's like that's those like weird people who have like the entire Constitution on the back of their truck.
Yes,
or on their back.
Yeah. So you're like so you know about the Constitution? Have you read it?
Do
you
doesn't
know,
sound like it.
Do you know any of the things inside?
I think they're wishing for the apocalypse, those folks.
Yeah. Well, there's that's definitely that strain of.
When you get closer to those trucks, it's not the Constitution. It's just a bunch of Latin placeholder words.
To
look like the Constitution.
Yeah, that's fun. That's probably true.
That's probably true, Garen. saw Garen on the street, got excited about it.
Sure.
Nice.
You would too if you saw his arms swinging in that tank top of his.
That shaggy lurch of mine. rambling down the street.
Ruh-roh.
By the way, I speaking of the backs of cars, I saw a car that had a bunch of bumper stickers, but you know how like real, I don't know about any of my real, but bumper stickers from a reputable source, they understand that the font needs to be a certain size for anyone to read it.
Yeah, sure.
And then there's people who just make bumper stickers and you're like, I would have to be sitting on the ground with your bumper 3 inches from me to read it. Anyway, that was what this one was, but it's like, I got to read them because I got to know what it says. I'm not going to read you all of them, but just to give you a taste.
So this is a multi-sticker car.
Yes. One of them says, the first thing I saw was there was just an orca whale. So that's one bumper. And then on the other side, opposite side, there's another orca. But this one says, fuck them boats.
I mean, that's the orca power.
Thought of the orca.
Yeah. And then one of them says, and this is the one that I had to zoom in on because I was not going to be able to see with the naked eye. Keep honking. I'm thinking about the incomparable... pool scene from Paul Verhoeven's underappreciated 1995 erotic drama Showgirls. that's a bumper sticker.
You know what? You gotta like it.
Which is fucking great.
You gotta like it.
Yeah.
Small font or not.
Yeah.
Now everything is small. Like this is, I think, why I, because you could, where it says Showgirls is the actual like movie poster style graphic of Showgirls with Elizabeth Berkley and her leg sticking out. And then another one says, I got a lobotomy at Claire's. I don't know what that means.
All right. Well, you can get your ears pierced there. This guy got a lobotomy. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, this guy saw some fun bumper stickers at funbumpersticker.com and got a couple of them.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Sounds like a grab bag.
Grab bag of stickers, right?
I think it was a lady because there was another one that said something about...
Maybe they share a car.
That's true. Oh. Well, no, I guess it could still be a guy, but there was a Chapel Roan sticker. Mm. It says, where are you going? The Pink Pony Club or hell? Dial 620 hot to go. I don't know. And then another one said grateful to be gay, but I guess that could be a man or a woman. The Chapel Roan thing made me think it was a woman.
Because she has I don't know Chapel Roan. Is that a they? I don't.
Chapel Roan is, she's a lesbian, I think, or queer. I don't know if she's, I think maybe she's bi, but I think she's
lesbian.
Yeah.
But is it primarily ladies that are her or
no.
their fan base?
Everybody loves Chapel Roan, I think, but it's...
I don't know if it's... I don't think that's a fair statement.
Well, she's a popular pop singer, but I think... because she's gay. There definitely are women who are also gay who are like, she's hot, and yes, that's my thing.
This has been the LGBTQ Minute with Never Not Funny.
I don't see a lot of, and I don't know what I'm talking about when I say this, I don't see a lot of teenage boys liking that.
I wonder.
That music is what I'm saying.
Well, I think it depends on, I think it depends because like...
But I also don't know what they would like then, teenage boys. If they don't like that music, what would they like?
Teenage boys like if I'm basing my newly minted teenage son, Charlie, who turned 13 last week.
Happy birthday.
They like Kendrick Lamar and Tyler, the Creator, and, you know, stuff like that.
Maybe a Post Malone?
Maybe, yeah. But it's more hip hop, I think. Like, not everyone, but there's definitely...
Yeah.
They go more towards that and less towards the... you know, female empowerment pop music.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was envisioning. My son, of course, is the exception. He likes something from 1947.
He likes the Drifters.
So I can't, you know, I can't ask him what's the Pulse. You know, I can't get what's the Pulse from him.
Right.
I could ask him.
Yeah. Well, he might know, like, friends of his.
Oh, he will definitely know. You all right?
I got a little emotional about Oliver's friends liking music.
I wonder how far away we are from not having to have bumper stickers because the paint on your car is electronic.
Whoa.
Because BMW demonstrated, like...
Thank you, Gary.
This is on you.
I'm not sure what went wrong.
You sound like an asshole.
I don't see why.
You're
I literally don't.
Listen, they're laughing at you.
Sure, no. That part I got.
That part I got.
BMW. I'll say this: if I'm in the kitchen of the refrigerator at a party with you,
yeah.
And you break out the, I wonder how long we are. I would go, oh yeah, I don't know, man. And then I'm finding any other conversation.
Really? Because to me, that's fascinating.
To you, it is. I want to go talk about REO Speedwagon.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true. You're both shit out of luck at the average.
Well, imagine
average
being
party.
The third guy. You gotta come in. Right. You guys want to hear about electric paint?
Yeah, I thought
you're about REO Speedwagon.
Here's the downside of me at a party, and you guys don't really know this.
You don't want to be there.
I don't talk.
Oh, right.
So I get stuck listening to your horse shit,
yeah.
And whatever that third guy, I'm listening to him too, and yeah. I'm nodding, and then I'm looking at my watch, and I'm looking for Danielle across the room, and I'm trying to get out of there.
That's sure. Me whenever I was at a party, and I would get, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just enjoying the vibe.
I'm fine.
That sets off my anxiety to the nth degree.
I don't disagree with that. It didn't when
you
I was came, young.
You all right? I'm like, oh my god, yeah.
I always didn't like the party talk.
Why wouldn't you like a party talk? You don't shut up. I don't mean that negatively. Even,
I mean,
you're like the perfect party goer because you can make conversation with anybody. And yeah. Let me rephrase that: you will make conversation with them.
Yeah, step up onto an Apple box and start going, and people can crowd around and listen or not. They can walk and go somewhere else.
I mean, when I was at Dave Holmes' party, whenever that was, in New Year's or Christmas or whatever. Yeah. And I did have like an hour and a half of banter conversation with three or four strangers, and that was fun. But then what happened was I looked around and I'm like, I don't know if fucking anybody else here.
And you got out of there.
And well, yeah, because Dave introduced me to those people because Dave's a good host. And then I was like, I don't want to introduce myself to another person. That's the worst part.
Like a guy who's been hired to do magic at a party.
Yeah.
Hey, so anyway, did you hear about these new bumpers? They have LED. By the way, that's a bad idea. The bumper is there for protection, for safety. You can't put LEDs.
This wouldn't be the bumper. BMW did a demo of
I've seen that,
an e-ink.
It was cool.
And with like different colors and stuff. Yeah. And so that would be the end of bumper sticker.
Well, isn't the end of bumper sticker that it's 2025? And like that's that car's the rarity.
I mean, we do see the sticker on a Tesla these days for reasons that we understand.
We see that one. And you'll occasionally still see the Bernie sticker will be fading on a car.
Yeah.
You'll see a Hillary sticker fading on a car. Yeah. You don't see a lot of Kamala because, again, it's 2025. But you will see a lot of Trump.
Yeah.
You'll see
they
a
don't
lot
care
of
about a paint job.
Well, usually when you see a car that has more than three bumper stickers, it's always like, uh-oh. Because like,
there's a lot of flavors of uh-oh, but there's a lot of uh-oh.
I saw one yesterday. It was like the kids were in the car, and we saw this car in front of us, and it was like, it was hard to discern what they were going with, but there was all sorts of like, there were, you know, American flag things. There was an Israeli flag. There was a roof rack with one of those, like, you know, spare gas.
Okay.
You know, like as if they're going to drive through the Mojave Desert and they need like extra
I'm not
gas.
Sure this is offensive, but I believe they call it a jerry can.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. That might come from German.
I think so.
Germans invented it probably or something. I don't know if that's offensive or not. Anyway. But yeah, and then there was it looked like the car was full of stuff. Like, you know, it was one of those things where it's like maybe someone's living in this or they're all they're going from one place to another. It could have just been that, but there were two big signs, the kind of sign you put on your fence at your house that said beware of dog, but on a car.
Oh, it said beware of dog.
Yeah.
Oh,
on what kind of car were you?
It was like a Subaru, but like it wasn't like a beat down old car. It was like a pretty new, pretty well maintained car. So that was weird too. It was a lot of, that's why I'm saying it was confusing. It was, I couldn't.
Are you sure that wasn't just filled with crates with dogs in them?
No, it was packed with stuff. Like, it was like.
Is it beware of dog, like D-A-W-G?
Do you think the E was missing? It was beware of Doge?
Maybe it was beware of Doge. That would have been more, then I at least would have gotten a read on their politics. Because this way I was like, there was one of those Marine, you know, the badge of the Marines.
Sure.
Like the eagle with the anchor or whatever the hell. That was on the back next to the plate. So I don't. Yeah.
If I had to take a guess, and I am only because we're making we're doing a program.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that sadly they probably are living in the car and there is a dog in the car.
Yeah.
And that is their way of telling people stay away from us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my guess.
I'm going to spin that story further and say that somebody gifted them that car because their car broke down. And so they were going to donate it to car, you know, kids.
It's a nice
cars.
Gift, man. I'm telling
you. Dude, this is a Subaru.
This was like not new, but like looked almost new to me.
Right.
Like it was like not, it was like at least within the last 3 years.
Nobody's giving that car to Cars for Kids.
No,
They're not. I'm telling you, they're not. You wouldn't give yours to Cars for Kids. Would you?
I don't think I would, but for different reasons.
Because of the song, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the
obviously
main reason.
That,
Do not support that song.
Yeah. What do you get? You get a tax write-off on that, right?
Isn't Cars for Kids like a sketchy, like, didn't someone look into it? And
it's been looked into. I don't want to bog the program down with conspiracy theories.
Oh, but you'll
talk
e-ink on the car?
100% I will every day.
And Burl Ives look-alike?
Oh, well, that.
We're stuck with that horseshit?
Yeah.
But this, which may have been of some interest to people.
You're
saying conspiracy theory, though.
Yeah.
Are chemtrails involved?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
What about teleportation, which was talked about on a recent podcast of a former guest of ours?
Oh.
That they believe that the government has the technology for teleportation. That happened on a podcast recently.
Boy.
Go ahead.
There may be some kind of religious indoctrination in the background of that charity is the conspiracy theory that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But not of the Christian flavor.
What is the flavor?
Jewish?
And so what's the downside?
The research that I read a story about, which I did not follow up on, was that it's not one of your Jewish sects that you would be like, yeah, this is a good one.
He said sex.
Yeah.
No, but he didn't. he did not.
Oh, yeah. So I haven't looked further into it, but there apparently is... They don't have their particular perspective is maybe not one that everybody would share, and I'm saying all this in this way because I don't remember the details, so I don't want to misspeak.
Well, I mean, they spelled the cars and kids with K's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So are we? But that so that flies in the face of this Jewish concept.
Maybe they're trying to play some games. I don't know.
It's interesting because you don't often hear about like Jewish cults.
Nope.
Like, it's the one religion where it just kind of seems like everyone's just. I mean, yes, there is obviously Orthodox, but yeah, they're basically living their lives.
What is it? Kabbalah is maybe arguably. Right.
Yes, that's the one area. But even that was, I think, pretty benign as far as I could tell. It was more of like a yoga class than
or accounting.
There was a lot of numerology and wealth. It was almost like The Secret, but with some Jewish religion.
I've never explored it, but yeah, I get it.
There was a clip of Sabrina Carpenter on the Blue Sky, and with somebody saying, "This is what music has come to," and a clip of her making her provocative poses on stage. And my first thought was, did you ever hear of Madonna? Yeah. And then, I'm not kidding, every comment underneath it was, what about Madonna? What about Madonna? How do you post that in 2025 and mean, you're out of your mind?
Yeah.
Gary, did you find something on this Cars for Kids thing? We got to the bottom of it. So far, all we have is Elliot's cryptic...
Non-committal
conspiracy theories. It could be part of a cult. It could not be. Maybe it helps children.
It looks like it benefits an Orthodox Jewish organization. It's trying to get people to be more. I don't think cult is the right word for it. I mean, this is a very long thing that I'm looking at, so I'm kind of just top leveling.
Recommend I give my car to then, Garen? If I'm going to donate my car, where do you? I know you don't drive, so you're out. Or do I donate my car to you, and then you sell it and make a couple of bucks?
Or inspires him to get a license.
Or here's the thing. If you're going to I know you're thinking about getting a new car. Instead of trading in the old car, you can write it off, donate it to Garen, and then have Zoe and Charlie make the Beware of Dog Signs. Because he's going to have Dexter out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Garen's, a week away from living in this car?
But Dexter doesn't need to be. He's a
What's
friendly.
The date?
What's that?
What's the day today?
Today's May 1st. May Day.
May Day indeed.
What, you really?
No, I'm good for a month, 2 months, and then it's if I finish my script, I'm good for 2 months. Otherwise, it's
you better get moving.
We're in crunch time.
Oh boy,
yeah,
get to typing.
Exciting.
Well, exciting.
But in, I know you've been trying to find a roommate this whole time.
I'm talking to somebody, but they can't move until July 15th. So
what a very specific date.
Yeah.
I guess that's when they're out at their other place.
Middle of July.
Yeah, which seems odd, but
yeah, sometimes apartments have that mid-month
switch. So there's a little bit of
not everybody moves here on the first of the month.
Yep.
Yeah, it's weird.
Right, you know that as a manager.
Yeah.
It's the first of the month. Get up.
So the only time that would happen for us. Well, I guess it goes to my... Yeah, I guess it would be. I guess...
So if I move in May 17th, is it then May 17th? I don't pay my rent on May 17th.
No.
I pay half a month.
Yeah.
And then...
From then on.
Wouldn't it then take over month to month?
But the lease is still from the 17th. Like, it's a 1 year from that date.
Oh, it is. All right.
And then, so like when you get your rent raise, it's on that day of the month each year.
Mm-hmm.
And then... So if you didn't want to have to pay the partial month, then you would end on that day.
Now, let me ask you a question. What's the current lay of the land? Is it still 3% is the most that they could raise it?
We're at 5.
It's at 5%.
1% of that is because we pay for the gas for the fireplace in the unit.
What if I don't want to use the gas in the... What if I don't use my fireplace?
Doesn't matter.
So the oven and stove are not gas,
correct.
But the fireplace is?
Correct.
That's weird.
Yeah. I suspect that our building was in the first wave of electric stove construction.
And they still are all, like, if you are replacing a stove tomorrow, it's an electric stove.
It has to be, because even though there's gas in the unit, the gas is one meter for each side of the building, so we can't meter each unit individually, and the plumbing isn't there. We'd have to tear apart all the walls to change that.
Do you ever use the gas fireplace?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I don't have to pay for it, and it provides, for me, most of the time, provides enough warmth. Because I close the windows and everything, it just kind of builds up.
Sounds like you don't, based on the way you...
Ours doesn't work, so it's the choice was taken out of my hands. But I'm trying to remember if I've ever been in and lived in a place that had a working one. I don't think so.
There's some recent evidence which suggests that the gas pilot light is not our friend.
It's not good for you,
Yeah.
When Pat and I were roommates for those 2 years, we had that fireplace in our apartment. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero times. And then where we live now, I have the not the chimney sweep, but the chimney, whatever that company would be, come to investigate. That's not the word I want. Help
inspect.
Me. Inspect. And it would cost way too much money to repair the chimney in order to use the fireplace.
That's the situation we're in. Our chimney's not up to code, so to use it, we would have to make it taller, I think. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'm never going
to
use it.
Yeah, I think Danielle would like to use it, but also understands, like, you know, that money could be, we'd probably repave our driveway first.
Right.
That said, maybe if we took that, although I hate fire, I'm afraid of fire.
Fire bad. Go back to Frankenstein.
And if we put them, so maybe it would cut down on our heating bill, maybe. Mm. But I still don't.
But you have allergies, yes?
I am allergic to some things, yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm not one of these guys like, we should stop forever burning wood or whatever. But there's plenty of evidence that says that burning wood is actually the worst thing you can do as far as air quality.
What if I got one of those fake logs?
Well, then.
What do those do?
I think that's.
A Duralog?
Yeah. I don't know.
Probably maybe less allergenic, but probably worse for the environment and everything else.
There's got toxins coming off that thing.
Because the thing is, you can't control the toxins that are in the wood that you buy from a tree. There's sap and other things, and it just kind of creates these volatiles.
Wait, you're paying the tree for the wood?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they take some branches off, but leave the trunk.
So those trees are basically selling their children.
I mean, that's one way of looking. It's more like selling your arm if your arm grows back.
Yeah, I guess
Matt just got out of a sling. Are you saying, making a comment on that?
Sure.
You mentioned arms.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, so let me ask you, what about those fireplaces where it's not fire?
Oh, like the, it just looks like it's
a... Yeah, it just looks like it's a fire. Yeah. Does that give off heat, or is it just decorative?
They must, right?
There's some, I want to say it's called like an Amish fireplace or something like that?
Yeah.
So,
and those will push some heat, like air heat, right?
I've seen ones where it's like, some kind of material that looks like fire. It's not a screen. It's not lights, although it may be lit. And then it's just a space heater.
Yeah.
I've seen that, but I don't know. There's other things maybe.
At that point, it's just like, what are we doing? Just turn the heat up. Like, why are we playing games with this fireplace? Yeah. It's not.
Well, you know what? The apartment that Danielle and I lived in behind Cantor's, the heat was in, it was, what do they call those, railroad car apartments, where, everything's kind of lined up.
Yeah.
The heater was in the very front room, and the bedroom was in the very back room.
Oh, so you wouldn't get
So you either had to turn it way up to get it. So I could see, if the room had been bigger, putting one of those in there.
Yeah.
I think we ended up just using, space heaters or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, man, it was, you gotta put two heaters in if you're doing that kind of an apartment.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Heaters are in the walls. They're like electric in
coils,
or whatever. Yeah. But inside those never get turned on.
Oh,
my house.
You never turn the heat on?
No,
it gets warm. So you're saying even on these cold nights, because it's been cold the last couple of nights.
It's freezing. I can't afford that. I can't afford an electric heater to heat up my thing. That's ridiculous. So I get an extra blanket. I like the cold.
Blanket, sweater,
he likes
socks.
The cold.
I mean, it's because our heat was broken. Hey,
get out of here! Get out! No, sir.
Like I just he did forlornly turned around. Like our heat broke the other night, and it was like 61 degrees the next morning inside, and that feels freezing.
Feels like it's 40.
Yeah, but in reality. You can sleep in 61.
Oh, yeah. That's
well, 61 in Chicago, you'd put your shorts on and go out and play baseball. Right. Hey, it reached the 60s.
Yeah.
Whereas, but for some reason here, 61 feels like it's freezing. Mm-hmm. And I would.
When your nose feels cold, it's weird. Mm. Like if you're in bed and the blankets are keeping you warm, but your nose is cold, you're like, what the hell's going on in here?
That ain't good. That ain't good. Where's my English? Because I keep saying ain't. Mm. All right. Is ain't acceptable now?
I mean, everyone knows what it means. Who cares if it's correct?
I was in grade school, if you said ain't, the teachers yelled at me.
Yeah,
they would, well, that ain't English either. Mm. You want to try it again in English? That's what I would hear. Or not me. I mean, I would hear that because...
Their job is to teach you the correct thing, but then you get out in the world and you're like, you can talk however you want to talk.
And if ain't... I would imagine ain't has probably made it into the dictionary by now, right?
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
I mean, if other stupid words have, and I would say ain't is used more often than some of the other words that are in there.
Mm-hmm. To me, it's like, I almost feel like ain't is like a regional We all know it and use it, but to me, it sounds like a Southern person. And there's a lot of things.
Oh, I ain't doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot
but
of
we were very shit. I'm Chicago, dude.
Yeah. You know, those people migrate.
not from the South.
A lot of people came from the South to Chicago, didn't they? Former slaves trying to find a better life.
I think it's mostly Polish people.
Yeah.
Sure. Polish and Italian.
So Merriam-Webster does have ain't.
What does it say?
It says am not, are not, is not, have not, has not.
You ain't be using this.
Yeah. Although widely disapproved as non-standard, the more common in the habitual speech of the less educated, ain't is flourishing in American English. It is used in both speech and writing to catch attention and to gain emphasis. I mean, to me, it's probably along the lines of like there's older English words like I'm coming up with slept, but that's not the right thing. Like there's words that end with like PT.
Yeah.
And now we do, you know, double PED instead, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like to me, I think it's just that kind of progression of that, even though it doesn't really follow other rules. At the same time, a lot of English doesn't follow rules.
Well, that's
so.
The thing. Everything we say is stupid and weird. So, like, what's the difference if you say ain't? Like, who cares? Like, all of our language is.
I ain't stopping using it, I'll tell you that.
There you go. I mean, as long as people understand what you're saying, but
there. Don't you, there you go, me.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Give a little pat on the head.
That's a Mike Schmidt thing. There you go. And then here's my story. That's what you just did. And that ain't going to fly. I got him fucking loose. I'll cut you fucking loose.
Holy shit.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's the thing. And then monologue. That ain't going to fly. Look around. Look at the fucking walls.
Okay.
Look at the fucking walls.
To me, it's just
wide shot.
It's like a more of a colloquial thing. It's like you wouldn't write that if you were writing something. But when you're talking, it's like. Everyone knows what you mean, and it's just a sort of it's a more casual way of talking, and in some situations, that's totally appropriate and feels maybe even more appropriate than being very formal.
Well, I think that there probably are writers who have written, you know, great works of art who have, to portray the real world, used ain't in there.
Yeah,
once it appears in
like
a
Mark
book.
Mark Twain.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm experiencing right now.
Yes.
A lot of talk from you and not a lot of looking at the fucking walls.
Oh. I apologize.
That's what I'm experiencing right now. The you were told to look at the walls.
Where was he looking? Because you can talk and look at the same
thing. But he wasn't.
I went to the wide angle.
Let me ask everybody a question. So this was a new word for me. I had not known this word. It was Wordle 2 days ago.
Mm.
What
dummy?
Was the, no. Can I tell you what happened with dummy? I got D in the very first word, and then I got ummy, and then I went mummy, yummy, something else.
Oh, and you had the D?
And I had the D, and I kept forgetting that I had the D.
No.
And then I didn't get it.
Wow.
And so I had a 100-and-something day streak.
Oh, no.
And I literally went, and so then it popped up dummy, and I went, and not even thinking, I went, you fucking dummy.
Yeah, that's the perfect word for
perfect
you
word.
To have.
You had the one. You had the one letter, and I just gave you mummy, yummy.
Gummy.
Gummy.
Tummy.
And tummy. Those were the four. And then it was like, you had the D. By that, I mean the dick. I do Wordle with my cock.
Oh.
No, it was, what was the word 2 days ago? It began with an I. Itty.
Here, I'll look.
I forget what it was. It was like a simple person, I believe is what the definition was. Or somebody that lives their life simply. Somebody that lives their life simply.
I don't remember.
Something
this.
Like that was the.
Are you doing a different Wordle? Because I don't remember having dummy in my last week, and I haven't missed any days.
You missed a day if you didn't get dummy.
No, because the streak is still going.
I'm telling you right now, you missed a day.
Yesterday was idler.
That was that. I did not know the word idler.
That was someone who idles. I thought it was like a part of a car.
Yeah.
Like the idler.
It is not. It's somebody that lives their life very simply. Because, again, I had not heard of it. I got it because just by default.
It didn't even occur to me that it was could be used that way. To me, it was like someone who is more idle than someone else.
I had never seen it before in my life. I'd never seen it used. I'd never heard somebody use it.
Because no one says that.
Nobody would say that. You know what word they do say quite a bit? Talking specifically to me, dummy.
Dummy.
I hear that quite a bit. Hey, speaking of dumb, Joe Quazala's here. So we'll take a break. When we come back. Joe Quazala. We'll talk about the Rye Roll Hall of Fame, certainly. They just said who's getting in. Joe will certainly have some thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Joe can give me an update on how the Rye Roll Hall of Fame draft that we did in January.
Right, because you know who you picked, but you don't know what. I mean, you know who everyone picked, but you don't know how the scores broke down.
I don't know how the scores broke down. I don't know. I think Kristen Studdard had the White Stripes and Outcast, and I think she ends up winning because everybody else had one.
Yeah.
I think. We'll find out. Joe will know. Joe will know. He cares about the Rock Hall. He's got the podcast. We'll go around the horn, of course. Matt still has the con. The letter is J. And we'll do all that when we come back right after this.
Hey, gang. Matt here with some dates for you. Joe Quazala is on TikTok at Joe Qua. I think you can find him other places at Joe K. Joe K. But I think he's most active on TikTok, honestly. So check that out. And then check out his podcast, Who Cares About the Rock Hall? If you want to hear him talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they do a draft every year. We talked about it on this episode. You're about to hear that. But yeah, all fun stuff. And he's a stand-up comedian, very funny guy. Find him just through his link tree, you know, by going to any of his social media. You can find out where he's performing, and you should check him out because he's great. Jimmy Pardo is also great. He's going to be doing some stand-up comedy in Denver at The Bug May 7th. Then he's at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase on May 8th. He's at the Hashtag Comedy Theater in Columbus, Ohio on May 9th. He's hosting Pop Cultured at the Ice House in Pasadena on May 17th. And then he's in Plano, Texas, Austin, Texas, and Salt Lake City on Memorial Day weekend. That's May 28th, May 29th, May 30th. Go to jimmypardo.com and click the shows link to get ticket links and all that good stuff. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, 36J, the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. Our pal Joe Quazala is here. Joe, of course, is the host, along with another friend of the show, Kristen Studdard, who does, they do the podcast, Who Cares About the Rock Hall, and it's about the rock, is that the title of it?
Mm-hmm. Right? That's it, you got it.
The it's about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Kristen does not care about it. She still does not care about it?
That's debatable at this point.
You think she cares?
There's a degree of Stockholm Syndrome. Original premise was she doesn't know anything. I know everything. She's going to be like up in arms about this. But we're 7 years in. She knows more than anybody else besides me.
Mm-hmm.
And like she's...
Does she?
Well, I mean, just kind of by default, even though she has the type of brain that does not absorb information. She has a faulty... brain and cortex, but she just knows plenty. She can be like, oh, this person's been nominated, stuff that no one on earth should have,
right?
The information to be like, oh, well, you know, Pat Benatar was nominated 1 year, didn't get in, and then had a gap year and then got in the year after that. Like, these are things that no sane person is supposed to have at the ready, and she does.
She's got it ready to go.
Even if it's like I have everything at the ready and she has like 50%, that's still way more. That's an outlier on the graph.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys will have a guest on, some that are Rock and Roll Hall of Fame voters, like
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, as of a few years ago, I do vote.
Yeah, why was that allowed?
Well, I think they were like, well, this person thinks and knows more about the Rock Hall than anyone. The least we can do for poisoning him.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a ballot. And
yeah,
but it's still kind of exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting. Yeah, I cannot believe that I get to vote. It's crazy just to think about, like, being the kid watching these ceremonies on VH1, you know, and here we are later and I get to put a, you know, a drop in the bucket, but it's better than the fan vote, which is a charade.
Well, I mean, doesn't everybody know that's a charade except for the people that are voting?
Yeah, I guess so. Right. But,
so
wait, you know.
Yeah, so this year, Fish was mm-hmm. voted on, and then they
right.
didn't get...
No, they did not get in. And
why?
So it was similar to, like, the Dave Matthews Band in 2020, which is that a very rabid... Even if it's somewhat niche fan base, they rally and then they're like, we got to vote for our guys. And what they don't understand is that the top seven vote getters comprise one ballot to then be put in with 1,000.
With yours.
Oh.
With mine.
It's as equal as yours.
Yes. All the fans together.
Yeah.
Equal
me.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
And it's also a thing of like, yeah, they won, but so did six other people.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not, there's no weighted, it's not like Fish got more ballots. It was, they're on the ballot, but so is Soundgarden and Billy Idol and whoever else comprised that.
But
top.
Doesn't it go in a way, let's say Fish, and, mm-hmm. and it could be argued on other podcasts, not this one, whether they should be in or not.
Sure.
But mm-hmm. let's say, or they, but they did get. Let's just make a number. They got 100 votes, and then the next person got mm-hmm. 12 votes,
yes.
and then 12 to 1 for the next seven.
Right.
So they got so many. Doesn't that at least get in the head of a David Wilde or an Alan Light? And then they go, hey, Fish got this many votes. I should probably take them more seriously in 2026.
Potentially. Yeah, I think so. I think that it's going to be hard for the Hall to never nominate them again when you see that, like, oh, there's clearly an appetite. And also... there's a ceremony to produce.
and there's tickets to sell.
It's become that, hasn't it?
To a degree. When at pretty much any year, you can find tickets to the ceremony almost the day before. Unless Dave Matthews Band is playing.
And then you cannot.
Unless Pearl Jam is playing. Mm-hmm. And I would bet whenever Fish gets in.
Yeah.
So they will be able to sell out this concert when Fish gets in, and they know that. In addition to the, you know, criteria that Fish meets that I think they do.
I'm the last guy who's going to like argue for Fish because I don't care for them. But I would say they're... And I don't know one song of theirs. I don't know if they... Right. I don't think they've ever had a hit song.
The major roadblock to their induction, I would say.
But... when a band is out on the road and like, isn't that part of rock and roll? Is this just being a touring band? They're
one of the biggest touring bands. We will not argue it on this show.
And I want to argue it because I think they deserve to be in, even though I don't know one song of theirs and I don't enjoy them.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the argument is that they are a singular live band. And they have a culture around them that other bands just don't have. But that is like kind of the only argument. So while that is strong and they max out that category, there is the issue of like the person on the street won't be able to tell you one Fish song.
Yeah, but they also don't know, if I may, they don't know Carol Kay. So like,
but Carol Kay doesn't get voted in.
She's not. Well, I'm certainly not voting her in. A lady playing bass, not on my fucking watch.
Wow.
You know, I know Sammy Hagar tried it for a couple of tours and it didn't fucking work out. Mm-mm. He shook her loose and got that guy from Van Halen back because Sammy gets it.
Yeah, well, that guy has a bass guitar that's the shape of a Jack Daniel's bottle.
That's rock and roll.
That's what you need.
That's my guess.
That's very cool.
I'll tell you this about Sammy Hagar, cool. too. He's got a lead foot. Now, here's the thing.
Doesn't he have a chicken foot?
That's a good reference.
He's got one of each. If you look at his feet.
You look down, he's got a talon on one. And a,
yeah.
Let's go with another Bella Fleck, right? Well, okay. They weren't in.
No. My God.
Who kidding me? Who am I thinking of?
Oh,
that?
My God.
Who Bella am I Fleck? And the Flecktones?
Yeah, Bella Fleck.
And the Flecktones. Well, you mean of the Flecktones?
Yeah.
What if the Flecktones got in, but not Bella Fleck?
No, we're going to teach him a lesson.
You know what I'm saying? Some other odd band or artist will get in. And you snobs will say, it's long overdue. This person should have been ages ago. But if you went down to Universal Studio, City Walk, and took a poll, nobody would know who that is. So why is that person in? Because you're music snobs and Fish isn't.
But the thing is, if you look at the recent history of inductees in the Rock Hall, it's all name recognition. That is the one thing that will get you in. You might think like, Chubby Checker wasn't really critically acclaimed and he didn't really get any respect and people don't think he's a true artist. People know who Chubby Checker's in and he got in as soon as he's on the ballot. So that's how it works now. Maybe in the past, the Hall was the Hall changes in gradual ways, but the Hall at one point was more pretentious and would put in like, no, the 11 Spoonful gets in before Queen. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
But now it's really just like, nobody's going to be like, well, Lionel Richie, he doesn't quite. No, he gets in once he gets on the ballot.
What would you say, Joe? And maybe I'm wrong, but maybe I'm off by a year. Mm-hmm. I would say that all started when Bon Jovi got inducted and they saw how many tickets they could sell with a popular band.
I would actually say, hate to throw it back at you, but the real trend started the Chicago year because that had a bunch.
Oh, you think it was 2015?
2016, yeah.
2016.
Because what you see in that year was a lot of classic rock bands who had long been snubbed.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Miller Band, Chicago, Cheap Trick. Who else was that year? But you know what I mean? So Deep Purple.
Yeah.
Right? And so all of these bands had waited a long time. And you start to see that reflected in the classes that come after. Whereas the years before, it wasn't really like that.
I always put it on the Bon Jovi year. I thought that's what changed it. But I'll take it. Chicago changed it all.
Nobody knows more about the Rock Hall than Joe.
So I know.
Do not go.
And I understand Chris Sutter knows about half of what he knows. Yeah. And even that's too much.
What I don't know anything about it. Is the Grateful Dead in the Rock Hall?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
I know they have one song that most people can go,
Give them more. I'd give them more than that, you know?
Oh, I guess, Touch of Grey is the one hit. Then
Touch of Grey is one hit.
Truckin'.
People know Truckin'. Yeah. I would say people maybe know Uncle John's Band.
That's the other one.
Yeah.
You know, but there's also, you know, I mean, Sugar Magnolias, Shakedown Street. I mean, like, there's other ones that if you listen to classic rock at a certain, I don't know now, but Casey Jones, like, they had... At least two albums where they were like, we're going to make these good studio albums, which Fish does not exactly do.
Yeah,
You don't think so?
No, I don't think Fish. I mean, I think the Fish fans are split. We talked to somebody for almost 2 hours, if you can imagine. For a fish episode, it went long. But we talked to someone. He was like, I don't like any of the – it's about going to the concert. Yeah. I don't think Fish really ever gave a shit about what they're putting on the studio albums. It's really about what they do with the songs live.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there, if you like a Fish studio album, there's going to be a contingent of Fish fans who are like,
what's your problem?
Are you doing a Fish podcast now?
You know, I had to for a little bit by default. Luckily, we're done with
that.
I mean,
look, they sell the tickets of, by the same token. You're going to get more listeners.
Yeah, and they're not going to be weird. They're not going to have issues with every little thing I happen to say.
Yeah.
They've been fine, by the way. I'll say there have been other fans who have been much crazy.
Well, I mean, before I find out who those are, I will say just the limited experience we have here on the Never Not Funny, the very few times we've mentioned Fish, we will get hate mail because you guys don't get it. It's like, yeah, no shit. We don't get it. We know nothing about them. And here's my joke about that. You don't understand the cut. Right. It's a fucking joke.
And wouldn't they prefer that than suddenly Fish has a big hit and we all come flocking to their special little thing?
Yes.
That's what happened with Touch of Grey and Grateful Dead is the real Deadheads were like, well, it's over now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here come people to enjoy.
So what fans, I interrupted to yell about our emails.
I mean, do I really want to do this?
Yes, and stoke of the flames? Course you do.
Duran fans were awful.
They're mad at you? But they mad at you about you. Didn't, you were relatively
pro Duran Duran. But you know, I think a guest we had at one point was like, you know, Samuel Le Bon. He's not like the greatest singer, but he fits the band. Generally a compliment, right?
Totally.
How dare you say Sam Le Bon's? He is the greatest singer.
Well, he's not.
And you didn't even mention how John Taylor's one of the greatest bass players of all time. It's like, guys, I have to say everything that's on your
checklist.
You're in a cult. You're done. You're gone.
I will say this. John Taylor is one of the greatest bass players of all time, and Sam Le Bon has a whiny, horrible voice, but it fits the band.
That's true. That's rock and roll, baby.
Mm-hmm. It is. Let me know. Did you have that woman on the from Sirius XM whose name is escaping?
Lori Majewski. Yeah, you're a big fan.
You know I love Lori.
You know, I was really happy that Lori Majewski would like talk to us and talk about her ballot because this is for real. We try to reach out to inductees because they get a ballot and nobody ever responds to us. I think because they're like worried that, you know, they're in the business. They have like skin in the game. So I've like tried to reach out to the people who just inducted with Foreigner. Nobody responded. Like I tried the Zombies. I tried like Duff McKagan, you know, like I don't, none of these people will
have
respond
to
me.
Have you heard Duff McKagan on his show?
I have not.
He's horrible. He and his wife, and they're just absolutely atrocious. Like, and they sound like they're doing it out of their car. It's ridiculous.
So wait, who's worse, Duff McKagan or Rick Springfield?
Now that's a tough call. Because I think Duff and his wife want to do it, and Rick clearly does not want to have any interest in doing it.
He's awful. Unbearable.
He's not good. He's the working class DJ.
Yeah.
You've heard him on Sirius XM.
No, I'm a terrestrial radio guy.
He's horrible.
Okay.
It's insane. He's got a marble mouth. He fucking everything he says sounds like he's bad at reading, and everything he says is read off a piece of paper.
Yes.
That he seems like
first take.
He's angry at the person who put it in front of him for doing that. And he's dismissive of everyone and everything. He's just like, I guess Madonna is popular. Here she is. Material girl. Yeah,
it is.
I mean, I don't have a problem with him as an artist. It's just stop being on the radio. You're not good at it.
That is. I you know, we have friends that they will die on the cross for Rick Springfield. People are like, he's the greatest pop artist, the most underrated pop artist of all
time.
That's
insane.
I think he's got some great after Jesse's Girl songs. He's got a handful of great songs.
You also really like the soap opera run.
I also think he's a terrific actor. He's an okay actor. He was beautiful. That's what it was.
Yeah. Beautiful and could put out a catchy song.
Yep.
That'll do it.
And where's his Rock Hall vote?
I will say the first joke that worked for me as a stand-up.
This is the very first joke ever.
Well, it's the first one that was like consistent where I was like, I can like open with this. This will always work. You know, this was when I was maybe like 20 or something.
Please welcome Joe Quazala.
Right. And I would be like, you know, I was just watching this. I was watching a Rick Springfield video on YouTube. Great start, right? Natural, organic. I mean, it's true. There's a video where he's at a concert and he takes a cell phone from somebody in the audience and he calls Domino's and he goes, hey, Domino's, I'd like to order 3,000 pizzas. And the crowd goes nuts.
And I, and my joke was, really, Rick, do you really want everybody in the audience to have 30 pizzas?
That's a good joke.
Yeah.
That's a good joke.
It was my opener for a while.
Now, of course.
Do you guys hear about YouTube?
they play videos, right? I think I've seen
YouTube. Yeah, so this is what would happen at the show. People would be nodding their heads going, yes, YouTube, of course. Yeah,
familiar,
yeah.
Right?
You started stand-up in Chicago, correct? Mm-hmm. But you're not from Chicago.
No, I'm from Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then you moved to Chicago to start standing up comedy?
Yeah, pretty much. I did a. I left college for a semester to do something at Second City that was brand new, and it was for college students, and it was like everyday comedy classes.
Oh,
yeah. Cool. And so while I was doing that, I was like, I'm going to tap into the stand-up scene. I'd like dabbled with it a little in college, but it was like, I have this open mic scene that I can do this while I'm doing comedy during the day. It was great.
So you're doing it. So the Second City, you're basically going to comedy sketch class. For a semester, a year?
It was called Comedy Studies. It was like when my friends went abroad, I went to Chicago.
And who was teaching you?
It was Second City faculty, you know?
Really?
And the classes were like writing, acting, improv, history of comedy. There was one class that was called like Context for Comedy. It was all, I mean, it was like a dream. It was
who wouldn't want to do that?
I know. Yeah. We were maybe like the third semester that ever did it. And it was... I always say I met the craziest people I've ever met in my life in class, in addition to the funniest people I've ever met still.
And have some of them gone on to great acclaim?
A.D. Bryant.
Oh, nice.
One of my best friends.
Is that right?
In that class, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and it was like you meet someone like her, and then you meet someone who is brain damaged, who like is their life is fucking up, and they're like, people look at me like I'm funny. I must be funny. But it's because they're, insane. So you'd get those people, and then you'd get, like...
It's crazy that those people would take a class, because we all encountered that guy, but it's usually just at an open mic, or they're hanging around comedy, but they're not going to, like, apply themselves to it in a structured way. Yeah,
they're somehow managing to, like, fill out paperwork.
How'd they get the acceptance?
Yeah.
I mean, not only open mics, even when I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, there'd be the one person there like, how did they get accepted?
Right.
How did you have the dough to come here?
Yeah.
And you just seem crazy. Mm-hmm. And that person is now Adam Scott.
What? Oh,
Adam Scott, he went there. He went there.
Right, exclusive.
Adam Scott, Paul Rudd, Chelsea Crisp.
Mm-hmm. Ham?
Not John Hamm.
Because I know he was in that kind of circle with Rudd and Scott.
He's post that.
Okay, got it.
And then there's one more. There was the guy. There was a fourth guy. And then I think I'm number five as far as success.
Esteemed alumni.
There was like someone from a generation or two before you.
Gil Burrows. There was Gil Burrows.
No, but I thought there was like a big name, like James Caan or something.
Cassavetes.
Oh,
Nick Cassavetes. I'm like number seven. I just got bumped down.
That fell quickly.
And by the way, I may be bumping my number up a little bit. I think there's a lot of working actors and actresses that came out of there.
Sure.
But as far as fame goes, and like people know, there's a better chance you would know my name than theirs.
Sure.
And you certainly know Adam Scott's and Paul Rudd's and Nick Cassavetes and Gil Bellows. What's his name? Gil Bellows.
Whoever it is, you clearly don't know their name. So there goes your theory.
I went to school with this guy.
Am I getting this wrong? Is this something that the internet's doing to me? Did Don Rickles go to the...
Yes, he did.
Oh, very good.
He went to the New York one.
Gotcha.
Just got bumped down again, Jimmy.
Yeah, this is not looking good for you.
I was, if I may, specifically the Los Angeles
Charlotte contingent.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, it was...
I thought Nick Cassavetes was the New York one, too. But you said he was in both. Because we looked it up recently.
He was in,
because we found out that John Cassavetes' son was a good enough basketball player to get a scholarship to Syracuse and then got an injury and was like, I guess I'll just go act.
I guess my backup plan
is being the son of successful. Gina Rowlands. Mm-hmm. And
that's kind of Schwarzenegger's kid. I don't know if I looked at Schwarzenegger's kid, Patrick, I believe his name. He was on White Lotus, right? He was on Shark Tank. He was like a budding entrepreneur.
He was?
He started a Blaze Pizza, I think, in Santa Monica. He had all these like business ideas, and then they didn't go. And so he's like, I guess I'll be a famous actor.
Guess I'll be on the White Lotus. What was he trying to sell on the Shark Tank?
He and his mother, Maria Shriver, were, it was like a brain food snack food. And it seems fake, but it's called Mosh. And I think it's like you can get it in like it's like cookie dough flavor or whatever, but it has vitamins and other ingredients that are good for your brain. And I don't think that's proven, but you know, you can say whatever you want on TV.
Did anybody partner up with them?
I think maybe Lori did. You familiar with the sharks?
Yeah. Lori's the one that there's a food truck with her picture on it because she backed this food truck.
Is that the lobster guys?
Yeah.
Lobster Brothers,
lobster. It's good. I mean, so lobster she goes for the food stuff.
That's not Barbara?
Oh, that's Barbara.
No, that is Barbara.
It
sounds like Barbara to me.
Sorry.
Yeah. Don't mean to
so
put
I don't
you in
know.
Your place.
So I don't know them.
Sounds like you guys don't know the sharks. Maybe we should move on before I get bit.
Here's my... Here's Oliver's impression of Lori on Shark Tank. Well, I don't eat lobster, so I'm out. It's like, yeah, okay, you don't have to eat the product. You can still see that it's a good business model.
They do that.
You don't have to. Well, I don't use hats.
I don't really.
So I'm out.
I don't really brush my teeth, so it's just not for me.
And for that reason.
Wow. They do that. Mark does that, too. It's funny. He always does it with, like, you know, makeup's not really my thing. So good luck to you, but I'm going to have to be out. I just don't get it. I don't know what a dress is. So you're doing great and good for you, but I'm out.
I think that Mr. Marvelous, whatever the fucking calls himself.
He's wonderful.
He's wonderful. I like him now on the new shows. He's great.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's showing up.
He's a MAGA whack job.
To be Canada's Trump. Yeah.
Oh.
That's it. And, you know, I have always felt, or at least, you know, in the past few years, if Trump had been on Shark Tank, we would all love him, and it would be like the perfect thing.
Dude,
and
you nailed it.
His attitude, and like, it would just be so perfect for Shark Tank. Yeah. And if that's where he landed and never got into politics, it would just be like he would just be this, continue to be this TV character. And it was this alternate universe that we could be living in.
Yes. What does your product have to do with toilets?
All right, now do Trump.
Yeah, that's fair.
that was Bernie Sanders.
That was Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, well, they're not that far from.
From
good.
Each other, actually. Mm-hmm.
Old white whack jobs?
From New York-ish.
Mm-hmm. It's like the George W. Bush thing, remember? Everyone was like, he wanted to be the commissioner of baseball. He didn't want to be president. Mm-hmm. If they had just let him be commissioner of baseball, we all would have been spared.
Terrible saved a lot ages. Of lives.
Yeah.
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 9/11 wouldn't happen.
Well, I'm glad it didn't happen. I like the five people on Shark Tank, and I like what our man's doing for the country. These 100 days have been fantastic.
Everything that has happened for a reason. And I came here with a list to tell you guys. Here's my Barbara impression.
You know, you came in here, you look goofy, and I said, I don't think I can do anything with this guy, but you really said some things that impressed me, and I think I'm going to go with it.
Perfect.
My Barbara.
All right, now who's the other guy? The guy that did the kind bars.
Oh, Danielle Lubetzky?
Yeah, do a little bit of that.
I don't. Is that crossing a racial barrier?
What is it?
I don't know. I think he might be like South American.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, is he?
Like,
yeah.
Maybe.
There's an accent that I don't know that I can do. I
Colombian
guess
or
I appreciate that honesty.
Yeah, or Central America or something like that.
Then who else you got? You got Damon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, there's maybe even a stronger racial boundary there. There's Robert Hershovic, though.
Yeah.
And he's kind of I can't believe I have all these in my back pocket. I watch a lot of Shark Tank. But he's the guy who he likes to get up and do the demo.
Yeah, he'll do the skateboard.
I'll ride the snowboard. Oh, this is for the whole family.
Wait, is that the guy with the good hair?
Yeah. And he married his Dancing with the Stars partner.
Oh. He left his wife.
Wow. Right before that.
Oh, he did.
Okay. I don't believe there was overlap. What's interesting is go back, watch those early episodes. You can tell this man's not happy with his marriage.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. You can sense, like, if marital issues come up, he'll just, you know, shake his head. He'll be like, I hear you. You know, marriage is, long pause, tough.
Oh, dear.
I was going to ask, like, how did that even come up on Shark Tank? I was imagining, like, there's someone pitching, like, hey, we got this great new ice cream. It's low calorie. Well, let me tell you something.
My wife likes ice cream. No, it's usually for, like, we have a new tube to put your wife in. He perks up.
The wife tube.
Yeah.
He also has that where you see his face work. It's that face work where it's he starts out. He's a handsome dude.
Absolutely.
And then he just keeps filling him with the face.
Yeah. You can see that with a good amount of them. You know, what's also fun is to see the filters on Barbara and Lori get blurrier and blurrier over the years.
Have you ever seen that thing on, I don't think they do it anymore, but there used to be at the movie theater, like at the AMC, before the trailers, there were like local ads. And there was like a local ad for some realtor and not Lori,
Barbara
was in it.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was like, man, that is a pull for like a local realtor to get Barbara. I was like,
impressive.
Good job.
Really impressive.
Yeah. Her office in Beverly Hills closed, and I took a photograph of it at one point and was going to tweet out some joke about it, but I thought it was just funny. Like, this woman on Shark Tank, who we all think is this fabulous realtor, her office is closed.
Well, I didn't like how the building looked. It had a big nose and it looked stupid. And I said, I don't think I can work here anymore.
She said that to people to their face.
To their face.
Wow. Like, you come in here, and I look at you, you're goofy, you're tall, you're gangly, and I think, I'm not going to like this guy. I can size somebody up pretty good every time I see them. But you know what? You won me over, you have snowboards for dogs, and I think that's a good idea.
To their face. That's
yeah, really, she really does. And I think she might be my favorite for that reason. She's no bullshit.
Yeah.
Robert used to be my favorite. Now we don't watch it at all. We've bailed on it.
We have also bailed on it this season. Like, and it's been a long time coming, but like, it seems like a formula that shouldn't suffer. Like, it seems like you can refill this until the end of time, but it's just, it's not hitting anymore. And so
why is it not hitting though? Cause we can't figure out either. What we just like.
Yeah. The variable that has to have shifted is the sharks themselves. Mm. Like, they're losing their touch. They're not as, pardon the pun, invested anymore into the program.
Yeah.
And
maybe you start to see, I don't watch it, but like, I would imagine if they're not as like passionate about the idea of being on it anymore, you start to see the cracks in the premise, in the sense that it's all kind of bullshit. I think when you really, like they're offering people shitty deals. And if those people take it, you should feel bad for them because they're getting ripped off. Yeah. Now the publicity of being on the show is good for them.
Certainly.
But like, partnering with these people and giving them like whatever percent of their company for not that, you know, like
it's
in the grand scheme of things,
much.
Not much money.
To,
yeah.
Yeah. Kind of ruin your life for a thing that will not matter to them. Even if they're paying attention,
yeah.
Like they just won't feel it, but like it will cut into your livelihood so significantly.
Yeah, and it has to feel a little bit like the glory days of people actually like that, whatever that sponge with a smiley face on it, like those days are over.
Scrub daddy.
Yeah. Like, you're not getting another scrub daddy out of this thing. It's going to be,
that's what keeps you holding on is you might. It's not impossible.
Yeah.
I think Bed Bath & Beyond closing has something to do with it.
Because
that was Lori and Barbara. We could put this in Bed Bath & Beyond.
Right.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a little bit of that because like all retailers are brick and mortar. So unless you're on Amazon, like the thing that they should go on Shark Tank is the Amazon killer, somebody who's going to have an app or a website that's going to strongly compete with Amazon.
Well, how can you compete with Amazon?
How can you compete with that?
Because they operate at a loss significantly to and specifically to prevent anyone else. Like, don't ship from them, ship from us, because we'll take the loss and we'll make the shipping free and we'll get it to you tomorrow at the expense of our workers and you know, the abuse that they will have to suffer, and we'll do it because it's, you can't pass it up. We have the money to afford that where nobody else does.
It's so weird that they have enough money that they can lose money. It's very strange.
Well, they're also basically the backbone of the internet now, right?
Isn't AWS
basically
is
the entire internet?
Yeah, including
IBM
website.
Is the only other one, right? Doesn't IBM still have
where does IBS follow?
Never Not Funny.
I take IB Guard to prevent that.
Is that right?
I do. I don't have IBS, but I take IB Guard because I have stomach issues, and it settles them.
How nice. Yeah.
And it is not cheap, IB Guard.
Is that a pill?
It is a pill in pill form. It's basically just peppermint. But if I take just peppermint, which costs a nickel, it doesn't do the job of the $30 IB Guard.
Peppermint pill.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's the same goddamn thing.
But the pill doesn't taste like peppermint, does it?
It does not taste like anything.
It's in a capsule.
It's a capsule.
Imagine. But imagine. You had a little peppermint candy.
That'd be nice.
It would be nice.
Helps your stomach. Puts a little pep in your step.
It will. Peppermint will calm your tummy, but not in the same way that the IB Guard does.
I see.
It's magic for some folks. For others, it does nothing.
Okay.
But tiny spears of peppermint oil.
Are you saying a poem?
That is what IB Guard is.
Darren Cockrell.
I just got Joe Quesalid. Joe, now we talked about when you were in the hallway, we talked about the Rock and Roll Hall draft that we do each year.
Yes.
And that is you, me, River Butcher.
Correct.
Kristen Studdard and Joey Devine.
That's correct, yeah.
And
I've been doing it for years. A ton of fun.
Last year, I did very well because I went all classic rock, and classic rock seemed to hit.
Yeah, right. Like last year, and you didn't even have Foreigner or Frampton. You had Ozzy in your wild card pick.
Damn right I did.
Which is the first time that the wild card has actually
Paid off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, and by the way, I'll say that it was a toss-up between Foreigner and Ozzy for my wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have got either one would have
either
been
either one. You were on the right track. You were definitely on the right track. And so that netted you a lot of points. You had Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah.
Which got you, and you had Kool in the Gang.
That's damn right I did.
So you had a banner year.
I get it.
That year.
That year. So you won that year?
Yes. I did by quite a lot. Maybe the most points anyone's ever had.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Because it probably ended up being for like 11 or 12 points, which is a lot.
Whereas this year, the winning person had how many points?
I think 8.
Was it that many?
Because Kristen got 4 for Outkast, 3 for The White Stripes, and then 1 for Mariah Carey. Yeah, so 8.
Interesting.
And that tends to be, you know, where the winner falls in that range.
All right.
In that
how many points did you get this year?
2.
That's it.
I had Billy Idol, which I got 2 because he's never been on a ballot, and he showed up on the ballot. I thought he was going to get in.
Me too.
And then he did not. So I stay at 2. You have 3 for Cyndi Lauper. 1 because she'd been on the ballot before, but 2 because she eventually got in. Joey had Oasis and Joy Division New Order, which is 1 apiece because they'd been on the ballot before, but they neither of them got in. And then River had nothing.
So I came in 2nd. That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Distant 2nd.
Yeah, but a very distant 2nd.
So Oasis did not get in?
No, okay. They did not.
Who got in? Soundgarden, White Stripes.
Yes, Outkast. Joe Cocker, Bad Company, Chubby Checker.
Oh. And I argued on that very episode that Bad Company really doesn't deserve to be in there.
Because it came up, it was like, you know what? We were all stupid for not picking Bad Company. We all kind of knew that after the draft was over. It was like, we left Bad Company on the table, and with Foreigner getting in last year, Bad Company seemed poised and kind of obvious. But yeah, you brought up the point where you were like, but they're mediocre. And I brought up the point that does not matter.
Yeah, but they just kind of, there's just, I like Bad Company.
Me too.
I'm a classic rock nerd. I like them, but they're just a band.
They're nobody's favorite.
Yeah.
And the people who like them will usually be like, but I really like Free.
Yeah.
That's one thing we notice when we talk to voters, where they'd be like, I voted for Bad Company for, you know, mostly for Paul Rodgers. I really like Free, and he's a great vocalist. And, you know, he was in Bad Company, and this is the way to get him in. Then that's fine.
Yeah.
But I will say, you know, the way the ceremonies are constructed, Bad Company or some version, some tribute, whatever it is, 4 Bad Company songs in a medley is like a perfect way to hear Bad Company.
I don't disagree with that.
And I'll be very excited and
be great.
Into it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so with Cyndi Lauper's segment would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's Cyndi of everyone, I would say, is the most likely to perform and kill it.
Yeah.
Like she's on a tour right now. She's doing her farewell tour. She'll be well primed and rehearsed, and she will bring it.
I saw her last year at the Hollywood Bowl. She was terrific.
I can't imagine.
Think the White Stripes will play?
Well, I could see Jack White playing the Meg thing.
They did reunite once since they broke
to
up.
To play?
Not publicly. They like basically played together in the Third Man Studios.
Yeah. I think Meg is just so reclusive and doesn't seem to really want to bother or deal with any of public life. It could happen, and it would be very cool.
Yeah.
It also remains to be seen if Outkast will perform.
That's an interesting question, too. Mm. Yeah.
And if either of them perform, they're probably headlining, because that's like a big event that they're reuniting.
It would be a big deal.
And they were both massive.
Yeah.
But Cyndi is like, you know she'll perform.
Yeah.
You know they'll want her to perform, and she will do a good job.
Absolutely.
Chubby will probably perform. He's in his 80s.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, that's a thing. You're not going to be like, Chubby blew my fucking mind. But, you know, yeah, he'll perform and it'll be great. And you'll be like, good for him.
But will the Fat Boys join him?
Do you know the names? Yo Twist, I believe, was Yo Twist. Yo exclamation point. Do you know the names of the Fat Boys?
I don't remember them.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Fan, per se. I just was aware of
Why
them.
Why weren't you a fan? Because they weren't great.
They weren't a real group. Like, to me, they were a novelty. I was like, this can't
the
be
fat
real.
Boys?
I know
they're a novelty.
No, I know. But the weird thing is, they kind of were and they kind of weren't. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's true. People who were like, no, they're a real group. They were touring and doing things. Mm-hmm. But from my perspective, I was like, this cannot be taken seriously.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't do themselves any favors by the Fat Boys. But
what? I believe one of them died, right?
I think so.
I believe one of them. I think we lost one of the Fat Boys.
Sadly.
Gary, what are the names of the Fat Boys?
Stage names.
We got Mark Morales, also known as Prince Marquis D.
Yep.
Okay.
Damon Wimbley, also known as Kool Rocksky. Kool Rocksky. Darren Robinson, also known as the Human Beatbox, and Buff Love.
Hmm.
Given name and stage name.
We've lost 2.
Oh, 2 Fat Boys.
We lost Prince Marquis D, and we lost the Human Beatbox.
Oh, boy. Buff Love is still with us?
Buff Love.
Buff Love's still going strong.
Nope, he's gone. We lost him.
Nope, never mind.
We also lost Buff Love?
We've only got Cool Rock Ski.
And Buff Love are the same person.
Same guy.
Yeah.
The most, I don't know if you can pull a picture up, but the most depressing thing about the, not about the fat boys, about society, is that if you see a picture of them now, they are not particularly fat.
Oh, wow.
They're just sort of regular people. And
but they chose their name.
Excuse me.
No, I know.
Excuse me. Regular people? Regular people?
Regular size.
Offensive. No, that's also not. Okay. You need the word regular out of there. People right. who are overweight can be
They're regular. Also regular people. That's my point. the regular sized American is bigger
is,
than
is
the
any,
fat boys.
Any size. Yeah.
Can you find a picture of them?
The Fat Boys. They were on a small independent label to start. And then I believe they, was it, did Jive Records give them a?
Maybe, yeah.
Let's see.
But who were they with?
Well, what's weird is Sutra?
They were in Crush Groove, which is a movie that was basically all Def Jam artists. It was Run DMC, Beastie Boys.
LL Cool J.
LL Cool J. Actually, Run DMC was not on Def Jam, but it's confusing because one of their brothers started it.
Right.
But yeah, pull up a picture of those guys.
They run the Sutra label.
Yeah.
Huh.
Here is what they're saying is them.
Well, that's like a more recent, I mean like in the 80s.
Like an album
But even
cover.
Then, again, one of those guys is...
That's them not
in good
fat
shape.
Anymore.
Yeah, right. That's them not fat anymore.
There's got to be one, because they did with the Beach Boys too, didn't they not?
I think so.
Like there's got to be something from a music video.
All they did was cover 50s songs. Well, and then they had the song All You Can Eat, obviously.
They had a song in Nightmare on Elm Street 4?
Oh, really?
Or 5.
Huh.
Fat Freddy.
They're in the end of the credits, I think, with them, if I'm not mistaken.
Kind of undercuts the horror.
Well, at that point,
yeah,
there wasn't much horror left. And hold on, I'm trying to find.
Can't believe it.
They did do. They did wipe out.
That was their big hit.
Yeah,
that was
they did wipe out with the Beach Boys, and then the next year did the Twist with Chubby Checker.
Yeah,
and they had a film.
Mm-hmm. That sounds familiar.
Disorderlies.
Yep. Yeah.
There they are.
Okay. Well, that puffy jacket is sort of accentuated.
They look pretty big.
Doing a lot of work. Are you claiming that the Fat Boys was a conspiracy?
Yes. They weren't actually fat at all.
If you really look at the
That's
jacket
a pillow.
And the way it puffs, you can detect that there's cushioning underneath, and the Fat Boys, in fact, Your Honor, was never fat.
And I want my money back. It's like Clash Act.
The government, man, has the ability to make people look like they're not.
The government has the ability to make the Fat Boys look fat.
I'm telling you that you can transport people from one spot to another. They've got the technology.
Boy.
Well, that could solve the tariff problem, then. You don't have to import things. You just go through a portal and then...
How about that?
Grab those items from China.
See, I thought you were going to say you don't have to import things. You put them underneath the coat. No one detects it. We have a nation of fat boys, but really, we're bringing in needed goods.
Instead of having ships coming into the port, you just have fat
boys
on planes.
Yeah, you know, and you don't, you know, we say they're fat, but they're not.
They're not.
We've got all sorts of special things. Under
Sharks,
there
my business is fat boys shipping.
I'm offended by the whole concept for that reason. I'm out.
Well, you know, so I'm not really... I don't get what fat is, you know, because I work out all the time, Dallas Mavericks, so I'm out.
I do like when he really gets down on some kind of like supplement or something, like he'll get mad.
Oh, he gets mad.
Mark Cuban.
I appreciate that he stands his ground. He's like, this is a weight loss pill and it's bogus.
Yeah.
It's snake oil. So
and
I'm out.
Bad,
I'm not
listening
to you. And you shouldn't do this. You're preying on people's vulnerabilities. And then Barbara's goes, like, you came in here and you looked fat, but then you opened your coat and you were not, and I like that about you. I didn't like the way that you were chunky, but you're not chunky, you're slim.
I don't like fat people. I do like you because you're not.
She would say that.
Yeah,
she would.
She's one to go hubba hubba.
She also knows that.
If a fella has got
legitimately the words hubba hubba.
And
abs.
It's uncomfortable.
Unironic.
My favorite segment on Shark Tank is called His and Her Aphrodisiac Bars. It's amazing. It has everything you want. It's probably the moment where like nothing could ever get as good. The Shark Tank. It was only a few years ago.
Did it jump the Shark Tank?
Yeah, you might say we jumped the Shark Tank with the him and hers. But it's this couple comes out and they do a rap. You know,
oh, no.
So it has. I'm telling you, it has everything you're gonna want. They come out and do a rap about, you know, like him and her aphrodisiac bar, get in bed, and you know who you are. Like they do this, and it's very rap, like the way rap was in 1982.
Yes,
right. My name is him, and I'm here
to say.
Yeah. So they do a rap. It's embarrassing. Then you think the rap's over and they start the rap again. The product itself, of course, is insane. It is like a granola bar to get you horny. You're like, what on earth are you talking about? The sharks each try the bar. Like, because, you know, you give samples. That's how it works with food, right? Usually. They all go, ah, and they go, it's spicy. And they're like, yeah, there's a bit of cayenne in there. And they're going, no, it's spicy. So they don't like it. Nobody likes it. And then they're like, does it work? And they're like, like, they don't have any. They're like, it has, you know, cacao and has other things that, you know, matcha and other things that are sometimes considered to be aphrodisiac. They're, you know, making shit up. Mm-hmm. And then Barbara out of nowhere goes, you know something? I haven't had a sexual thought in 30 years, so this should be good for me. And no one acknowledges it and just kind of keep it rolling. And everyone's, and it's like $40 to buy like five of these little bars. It's too expensive. And they have sold $500 worth. Like, every single thing is so bad. They haven't sold none of it. No one will buy it. It's expensive. It tastes bad. It's for a thing that doesn't work. And so they're all like, yeah, this is crazy. You're crazy. You should like get a real job. And because, you know, they do the thing that you think you're supposed to do on Shark Tank, which is like, we quit our jobs and we're doing his and her aphrodisiac bar full time. And they're all like, no,
you should not be doing that.
Don't do that. You need to get a job and then see if your things on the side work and then follow it if it works. But this is not working. And so they're all out. And that's when they should leave, right? But, of course, the guy starts crying.
Oh, no.
And
it's everything. You're right.
Everything. And they, again, they're out. Don't think that crying is going to get them back. But he starts crying and he tells a story about how he was once a firefighter, but they let him go because he didn't fit in. Which was like, what are you talking about? He was like, I just didn't really vibe with the firefighters. And so they had to let me go because I didn't really fit in with the guys. And you're like, I don't think you're revealing all the information, or you must be the worst hang of all time that the firefighters are like, we don't need any more help. And he goes, I was going home and I was at the gas station and there was a rock on top of the pump. And it said, just when the caterpillar thought it was dead, the butterfly grew its wings. And then everyone's looking at him like, is that it? And then his wife goes, it's a true story. True story. And then they're like, okay, yeah, that's great, man. But you said no. Yeah. And then he also was like, I had an, and then he tries at the last second to be like, I had an aneurysm.
Oh,
like,
no.
He's really trying to like anything that they could pull on. They're like, that's okay. Yeah, that's awful. And like, you know, good luck to you. And literally as they finally are ushered out, Lori goes, good luck with your. And she just kind of taps her head. She taps her head. And I think she says health. Good luck with your health. And that's it. I encourage everyone to look this up. It is it's a beautiful piece of television. Yeah,
they really should have just ended the show on that.
Just, we're done.
We've got our series finale.
Yeah. We've hit the peak.
Yeah.
And I think it might have been because it was like they were a little starved for people during and right after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so they had to reach a little bit further to get, because you don't see disasters like that anymore, to the show's detriment. Like, usually you see people now and you're like, oh, I already own this product. That's what started to happen with Shark Tank. We'll be like, oh, yeah, no, my girlfriend has like this line of spices. They're already popular. Like,
you're successful.
Yeah. And like, that's kind of what they want now. But it's like, no, you need to get the guy up there who's like, I sell three socks instead of two. You're always losing one.
Perfect. What you said, we always make fun of this with the Shark Tank as well, is they're wishy-washy, the sharks. Mm-hmm. If you quit your job, they'll tell you that's a big mistake.
Yes.
And if you don't quit your job, you're not fully committed.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever will create the conflict. I actually know someone who went on, and she went with having researched, having known what these guys respond to. And so she had a product. It was a product her little daughter had created. It was about like putting markers away in an orderly way. And so they had that, and they were going to pitch that. But she knew, like, usually with this type of product, they say this is just a product. It's not a business. And she was going to bring up her business that she has, where she sold other products very successfully. And she does that. And they're like, you're all over the place.
Yep.
You know, if you were just this thing, I would have invested. But, you know, you have all this. You're scattered. You're not focused. I'm out. Whereas they would, if she didn't have anything, they would have been like,
"You're just a product.
You know, you're just this product. I don't see a business here, so I'm out."
Yeah. Fuck the sharks.
Fuck the sharks.
And that's the thing, like you're saying, how it's they just want things that are already successful because it's like obviously that's what they want to invest in. It'll make money.
Yeah,
but it's also like they don't need to be there other than they're on the show to publicize their product. Like they don't, if they take the deal, they're idiots because like, why would you, you're already successful. Why would you give these people a cut for not enough money? Like it's stupid.
If you're making enough money to encourage them to invest, then you don't need them.
Right. And I think, I feel like Mark has even said that at some point.
No, he's definitely said, okay, you're just on here. You don't really want a deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good advertising.
It can be.
Prime time television.
Right. And it, was it Nest? Is that the one that became
Ring?
Ring, yeah, that became Amazon's thing, and
no one invested
society.
In Ring. Richard Branson was watching and was like, "I'll invest in Ring."
Is that right?
And so he did, and then that guy came back as a guest shark.
Oh, nice.
Right.
That's right. He did.
That's fun.
The Ring fella. Mm-hmm. What about when A-Rod was on? That was fun, huh?
Oh, A-Rod, Charles Barkley.
Yeah,
Foxworthy. Early on.
I liked Foxworthy actually.
Yeah, it's fun to have somebody. It's funny.
Yeah. He's a nice guy. Seems nice.
Yeah, he seems genuine, authentic, you know. Have you met him before?
You know what? I've never met him. I drove past him once on Sunset Boulevard. That's my Jeff Foxworthy story.
Celebrity sighting. Does he has never changed his look, has he?
He's never changed his hair.
Not really.
Right. That's what
I
mean. Like,
for the 40s.
Same like clothes, I would imagine. Yeah. I don't have eyes on Foxworthy. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know the last time any of you guys have seen him, but I mean, he was hosting the fifth grader show.
Yep.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Yeah, they cut him loose to bring in the football player.
Is that right?
Yeah, isn't it?
I didn't, again.
Isn't one of the Kelseys doing it now?
I don't know.
Isn't he doing Smarter Than a Celebrity or something?
A version of that show.
Oh, then who's doing Fifth Grader?
I don't know if Fifth Grader is still.
I don't
know. Oh, it's Smarter Than a Celebrity is what Kelsey's doing. Very good.
This is all new to me.
Are you?
Hey.
Are you smarter than a
celebrity?
Let's get one in here.
Because I'm going to say I'm not.
Like, there's those, you know, like Andy Richter's pretty smart. He won Jeopardy. Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to go up against
I'm
Andy.
I'm not sure I'm smart.
I am not smarter than Andy Richter. I can guarantee I'm not.
No.
But like Snooki? Yeah, probably.
Take a shot. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Low-hanging fruit. But
yeah, I apologize.
Well, it's got to be. She's very tiny. She can't reach the... I'm a short person who can make that joke, Aaron.
It looks like the last host of that was when it was on at Nickelodeon with John Cena.
That's right. John Cena took it over. That's who took it
Interesting.
Over.
Okay. Well, that seems, if I may, a little rude to put it on Nickelodeon. Like, to play it for fifth graders? Given the whole premise, like, are you smarter than a fifth grader? And then it changes if it's you're directing it to a fourth grader.
Yeah.
Right? You'd be like, yeah, and I'm smart. And I'm ahead of my time.
I'm in sixth grade, so yes, I'm slightly smarter than fifth grader.
They should have changed it to, like, are you smarter than your dad or something?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Flip it.
Yeah.
There was real franchise opportunity for this that they
failed.
They blew.
Come on.
I can answer that in my household. He is.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes, he gets straight A's, my son.
Hello.
I got by because I was friendly and fun with the teachers.
Is that on your diploma?
It should have been. I'm passing you because I like you, was said by more than one teacher.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Fucking more. I gave no effort. Mm-hmm. Zero.
Okay. Well, then I guess that makes sense.
It was, as I've said many times over the years on this show, it was the 8 hours before play rehearsal. That's all it was to me.
Wow.
Just went because, and it only happened because the director of the theater said, "You know, you can't come to rehearsal if you don't come to school. They're gonna kick you off the play because you're not coming to school." I was like, "Okay,
it's a motivator.
I'll go."
Yeah.
So I just went and waited it out every day.
I was a very focused student
really?
In high school. Yes, high achieving. And I will say, because I was like such an overachiever in high school, I was able to get AP credit, which then applied to college, which allowed me to take a semester off to go study comedy.
Bam. Look at that.
It all ended up
nice work.
Working out. Because if I wouldn't have been able, even though it was like an accredited like college thing, my university was like, you can't do that. You can't. You have to take a personal leave of absence for a semester instead of us letting people go to Rome and, you know, jerk
really?
Off.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was part of the whole.
What school was that?
Notre Dame.
Oh.
Not a very fun place to be.
Yeah,
but yeah, they had a rule that was like you cannot study within the United States during the school year.
Hmm.
At anywhere else but here.
Interesting.
Not
yeah,
Rudy.
And I was.
What about that touchdown, Jesus? How did that play into this?
He was you know, standing strong. Never moved.
Never
moved. That's on the library.
What's that?
What?
So obviously it's a mural, but it's on a building, and it's at the library, which is, you know, that feels like it kind of juxtaposes, where it's like, where's all the information? Right here. Jesus. I got a few other things for you.
I don't see you as a Notre Dame guy.
No.
Just don't see that at all.
I know. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to leave for a little bit and go do comedy. Yeah, it did not really mesh with my personality. The two like main things at Notre Dame are football and Jesus.
And
I gotta say, not a fan of either.
Football, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
Did you go to Catholic high school?
No. Okay. That's the other thing. I went to public school. But it was that thing of like, I was overachieving. I was like, I should go to a good school. I should go to a school that when people hear it, they'll be like, oh, you must have worked hard in high school.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, with three syllables, right? Notre Dame. Boom. Boom. You got it, right? Hey, you smart kid? Yeah, maybe. But it was, yeah, there was a crucifix in every room, and I was like, I feel weird. You know, I had a priest taught an American history class, and it was like, you know, in priests wear the get up, the full thing. It just feels weird where you're like, okay, I'm learning about Harry Truman, and you got the collar. And,
yeah.
All right.
That is weird.
Yeah.
I think they're just people.
Mm, yeah.
They're just people. They just wear a little costume to work. Not unlike the people, hot dog on a stick.
Nah. Yeah, wow. Okay.
They also wear a costume.
They do.
It's true.
It's very distinct.
Yeah. Hey, you know what time it is? It's time to do this.
It's the letter game, starting with the letter game. Hope my guess is better. You start with the letter and end with the name. It's the never not funny letter game.
All right, so we're matching Matt, which means I go first, and the letter is J.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, there's two of them that I think are solid. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave one for Garen, and I'll go with Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Jurassic Park. Now, on top of this.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor.
I have to look at something up in the break. Remember that I told you guys was looking something up in the break?
Oh, yeah, what? All that.
I'm going to do it now while that song's playing. Hang on. Pretend that song's still playing.
Well, let's just see. Well, yeah, Garen, what's been going on with you this week? By the way, Jimmy will not be listening to this.
I watched a couple of films yesterday.
What'd you watch, Garen?
I watched Sinners again.
Third time
the charm.
Wow. Was it the charm?
Fourth time currently being booked.
Wow, man, you love the Sinners.
It's coming back to. Here's what happened. I was able to see it in this IMAX at Universal.
My apologies.
Disrespectful to Sinners.
Didn't mean that for that to happen. My apologies, Garen.
We had to. I was asleep. And my friend Jess called me. He's like, start getting your ticket. I just saw a ticket open. It's been sold out wall to wall all week. It's the last week. So we're refreshing the AMC app like we're trying to get Lady Gaga tickets to see if someone drops out. And one person dropped out in the front row. And I'm like, I'm not sitting in the front row for an IMAX here. That's insane. And then dead center, a seat opened up. E13. I'm like, all right, I'm in. We got it. So she's off to the side. I'm dead center. I kind of should have maybe switched. But
wait, this is Burbank IMAX or Universal City?
Universal City.
The real one.
Yeah, exactly.
Which costs $35 to park now?
Oy.
Oh, my God.
What?
At City Walk?
They don't do discount.
It's up. It's all.
You're driving.
Okay.
You're
I was going to say, if you have a ticket to the movies.
I don't know what they do now.
You show. At least as far as I knew, you would show them. You have a barcode when you get a movie ticket, and they scan it as $5.
The parking is $5.
Yeah, when you show them that you have a movie ticket.
They did not ask us to show anything.
Well, that you have to tell them because otherwise they think.
We did.
Oh, and she's, boy.
I don't know. Maybe
something's fishy.
Maybe they did just because she paid with a card.
So something's on the fish.
Something's on the fish.
Maybe they just
that's right out of the part of Candy Castle.
But yeah, E13's a little too close.
E13 still too close?
It's a little too close. It's deceptively far in the map, on the app. A little too close. So we're going to go again and get different tickets.
What's going on? You've seen the film. You know what happens.
You know, but it's so good. And it's so.
Says the guy that saw Dunkirk three times.
Yeah.
Does it need to be an IMAX? It seems like you're watching it on IMAX.
He's all about the IMAX. It will be re-released.
Yeah, that's a movie.
It will.
I know, Garen.
The week of my birthday. It's
happy birthday.
It's coming up.
Happy
we just birthday, found out Garen. Today. We're going that night. My birthday. May 21st.
May 21.
Yeah.
5/21.
I love an experience, but that's not a movie that I think, to me, needs IMAX. But
I don't either, but he's...
Oh,
you've both seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not seen it yet.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, it's very good.
Yeah, it's really good. Mm-hmm. It's very, very
good. That's what everyone's saying. I'm waiting to...
I don't know. I guess I've just been waiting for no reason. I want
to
see it, though.
Well, make sure you see it in IMAX. That's the best way to see it.
That's what I hear. But the $35?
I got a front row seat if you want it.
And then I watched Companion.
Okay.
How was that? It's not... When I saw the trailer, I thought it was going to be really dark, and it's actually not. It's kind of light.
Mm. Wait, is that the Alison Brie?
No,
it's Jack Quaid.
Oh. Jack Quaid.
And Harvey Guillen
from What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, it did not appeal to me.
It's fine.
I didn't know anything about it.
And you liked it.
And I think the premise is very good. I didn't know the premise at all, and so the premise was like a interesting and surprising reveal to me. Otherwise, I'm like, yeah, I would say ultimately it was a good time, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't knock me off my socks, but
yeah,
there's
you know, that's not the expression.
Knock me off my socks.
I don't know if that's
do you
it.
Put their socks on the floor and then stand on them?
You stand on your socks.
Yes, of course I do.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I stand corrected.
Also, in addition to my front row seat, I also have three socks.
I got three socks because you're always losing one. At any rate, yeah, it's fine.
We saw Drop yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that. Seems like fun.
It is, it's wonderful until it isn't.
Okay. Yeah, until the drop.
It's, you know what? At the end of the day, I liked it. It takes a little turn.
What's the genre of this film? Is it a...
I was going to say a tension?
Thriller?
That's not
a
thriller. Thriller, what I'm looking for.
I like the director a lot. Christopher...
Landon.
Yeah.
Michael Landon's son.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Did Happy Death Day and Freaky, and mm-hmm. He's a horror director.
I did not know that was Michael Landon's son. So I was today years old when I learned.
Hey.
Jimmy, no.
The first two bullets.
That's not
missed.
A gun. You need a real gun.
Oh, go fuck your gun, says my shirt. Garen, what is your guess for a J movie that you're trying to match Matt Belknap?
You know what? I appreciate you leaving it for me. I'm going to go with Jaws.
You're welcome.
Sure.
You're welcome. Well, we say hello to Elliot Hochberg. He's behind video over there. He certainly has something interesting to say.
Probably
why
not.
Would why would I say that?
Yeah, that thought you're being sarcastic.
Recent history certainly doesn't support that. Here's what I've got. Went with Irma to go dress shopping. Mm-hmm. You know, she likes to do that, and we were kind of spending some time doing that. We ended up in the polo store at an outlet mall.
Yes,
and we're walking around, and the very nice young
this is Camarillo.
No, this is
The Citadel.
Oh, the Citadel. Mm.
Did you go across the hall to Marco?
Hey,
thank
now.
You very much.
Hey.
Garen, it's cool if you don't finish off the show today.
did you have to go? You have to be somewhere.
You were talking about you had to leave earlier today.
So the very nice young sales girl is, you know, she's folding some stuff, and I say something to Irma, and sales girl pops up, and she's like, oh, no, you should take her to show her off. She's doing her sales girl thing. She's trying to, like, encourage us to buy stuff. And there's a little banter, and we leave it go, and then Irma's looking at some other stuff, and she does some more. And it's starting to get a little bit much.
Are we still playing the game?
We hear a little bit on his life that he plays the game.
Yeah, got it. So at a certain point, Irma goes in to try on the dresses, and... sales girl is like, she must get a commission or something because she's kind of pushing it. She's still being charming, but I'm clearly giving indications of like,
leave us alone.
She says, well, you know, she probably needs some shoes too.
Okay.
And I say to her, I look at the shoes and I go, none of those are Skechers. So I don't think you're going to win on that. And she's like, oh, really? Blah, blah, blah. She keeps going back. I say to her, when she comes back out, ask her about the shoes. So Irma comes back out. The sales girl
it's a
is
frame job.
The sales girl is still trying to do things. I said, "You forgot our challenge." What did I say? You should ask her.
Oh, good God!
So she asks her about the shoes, and Irma looks and she goes,
"Are you supposed to be the good guy in this story?"
I'm not sure. Irma looks and she goes, "Oh, there's no Skechers here."
She okay?
Yeah. So I consider that a win. That's the story.
This is a running segment.
Sadly, yes.
Him telling his bell stories?
Yeah.
Yes.
I truly thought this was going to lead to a J movie reveal.
No, no, it does not. No.
It is just a
yeah, you've like, been here before, Joe. You just check me in how the week is going.
Remember he was talking about movies he saw?
Yeah, I saw Sinners for a third time.
Yeah. That was relevant, though.
Talking about I guess movies. It was.
Well, in fairness, it was.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know it had to be relevant.
It does not be. Joe is.
I understand that you don't like my stories,
Joe's
but
back
I
in Notre Dame.
Just want to know what the rules are.
I'm so sorry.
I thought you were smart, Joe.
I apologize. Last few times I'm here, when Elliot goes on these stories, I do check out.
Oh,
so
boy,
I can't say. I can't
oh,
say.
Boy.
I'll sorry, Elliot. You're not alone.
So, did you know that they're developing electronic paint for cars?
Oh, God. Here we go. What's your J guess?
All right, so he took my first two, obviously.
Obviously.
So I don't feel like I have much of a chance. So I'm going to say one that I thought of that I thought was good, which is Johnny Mnemonic.
Ooh, Johnny Mnemonic. What was my third? Go ahead.
I had Johnny Mnemonic as locked in as my fun answer.
Oh no!
I mean, I have other ones that aren't as
you
as
can
funny.
Share, and then you would split the money.
Sure, no, you no can thanks. Share and split the comedy, I suppose, Joe.
Oh boy, no. I won't be doing that.
I saw that movie in the theater.
Johnny Mnemonic?
Yeah. Why not?
Sure. It looked like it was a good movie.
I see a lot of movies, Garen.
I remember almost nothing about it except that I have a positive feeling about it. I don't know why.
Was that like in a time where it was like before Keanu Reeves was Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, it was before The Matrix. Yeah. I remember like because I was into the idea of cyberpunk. Like and there weren't that many cyberpunk movies at that time. Mm-hmm. So it was cool that there was a movie like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't have.
I think it's remembered as like a flop, like as Keanu was kind of hot, and then he's in this movie that doesn't live up to the
hype. Right.
It was like a proto Matrix.
That's your guess?
Yes.
What's your guess, Joe?
Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
Yes. I think I might go.
Do you want to tell a story about buying a dress?
Yeah, you know, I'm of course looking for my Skechers. As all my stories start off, I'm on the hunt for Skechers. And, you know, I talk to this lady and she's like, I'm going to get you some shoes. I'm like, that better be Skechers. And she looks right through me, which keeps happening to me when I bring up Skechers. At any rate, so I am going to go with, this is, you know, I think this is this sci-fi? Fuck. Jumanji.
It's
a bad guess.
I mean, that's sci-fi fantasy.
I mean, it's not real.
It's arguably horror. It's a horrifying situation.
Yeah, thank
it's
you. A thank
rhinoceros.
You.
If you're talking about the original, the
I mean, I don't know if you're going to win any money, but.
No, but, you know. Saying Jumanji's fun.
It is fun.
I agree.
You know what else is fun? My third one, Jeepers Creepers.
Mm.
That's also fun.
That's fun to say.
Yeah.
Now, what do the fans have to say, Elliot? Let's give us a little taste. You don't win money. Now, Joe, he's going to give us a list of. These are the fans also trying to match Matt.
Commenting, yeah.
Yeah. Skadinkadinkadinkadink. What do fans think of Garen Sucks?
Did you? I just learned recently that song, the original Power of Love, because they did a very stupid thing, Huey Lewis in the News. They wrote that song for Back to the Future, gave it to them, and then just took like a flat fee for it.
Ooh,
and
did
didn't get
that.
Any of the money.
Royalties?
They make
get
money.
No royalties?
They don't get money on that song. Maybe for writing, maybe the publishing, but like
the recording.
The recording, yeah.
Really?
It just basically is owned by Universal.
It was work for hire, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Which is like they were big enough by then. Like, mm-hmm. They should have known better.
They were not big enough. They were
huge.
There was a reason. That's why they were picked. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. But they also said, that's okay, because, you know, we did it for fun and we were fine.
We also have a gazillion dollars from these other four songs.
Yeah.
The News.
But it is their best song, right?
I mean, I like
best? Is that their best song?
I think it is.
I would say the one that I can't think of.
Want a new drug.
I'm not going to say it's that.
Hip to be square.
Yeah, that's
This
not,
is it.
This is it's a good song.
Heart of Rock and Roll.
That's it.
Happy to be stuck with you.
Heart and Soul.
I like all these, but I may have to agree with Matt. I think Power of Love might be the best.
What about Back in Time?
Gotta go back. I do like that song.
Oh, really?
If they made that deal for that song, that would make sense because you're not going to expect that's going to do anything for you.
Jacob's Ladder. I like that song.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you if you bought Huey Lewis's Greatest Hits, you'd like all the songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a dozen.
We'd certainly name more than four. Your initial bet.
Yeah.
You know? They've got quite a few.
I saw them in Reno. I was performing in Reno, and I went over and watched them live, and it changed my entire opinion of them. Mm-hmm. I thought they were a fine band, and then I saw them live, and I was they're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. And you know every song.
Right.
And they're good musicians. The News.
Not in the Rock Hall, though, right?
Not in the Rock Hall. Probably will be, though.
They have to be. They're more interesting than Bad Company. I'll say it.
It's the it's that thing of where we were saying that used to be Hall used to be pretentious, and a lot of people were left out. And now it's loosening up, and like we're getting to like the 70s, and we will get to the 80s soon, and yeah, they'll be in.
So I have a question about the assertion that you saw them live, and you're like, they're great.
Yes.
So I'm not a band concert guy. We've had this conversation before. If I go see a band and they do it exactly like the album, I'm wondering why I'm around a bunch of people and it smells bad. So when you go to the Huey Lewis and the News concert and it changes your mind,
yes,
what is it about that? Is it their energy?
It's energy.
So they're jumping around, maybe.
It's
or?
Not jumping.
We've been over this
musically. There's an energy to the way they're playing.
So and it sounds different.
It sounds different,
and you feel it, right?
And you feel it.
Yeah.
They actually have a live greatest hits album that is fantastic because it captures that.
Because like. I haven't been to a Sting concert, but I hear that Sting does fun stuff with his music where you recognize the songs, but it's different. I saw Anita Baker because I was a big fan of Anita Baker at the time, and I couldn't recognize a single song that she was singing because she did them so different, even though it was the same songs.
Yeah, that thing about Sting, those people are fooling themselves because it's fucking annoying.
Sting does this really cool thing with all these Police songs is he slows them down.
It is a thumbs down. Right. Hey, we got to go.
Yeah, fair enough. Give us a chance. Here we go. Jupiter Ascending. Jason X.
Garen.
Jumper.
Garen.
Jigsaw. Oh,
Garen. They made a movie called Jigsaw.
They did.
I thought of that, but I was like, you're just thinking of the guy.
Oh, it's terrible.
I hear it's not good, Joe.
Well.
It's in that franchise?
Yeah.
In that franchise. Just to tell Jimmy, because he's not familiar with it. Saw. I'm
well aware of Saw.
I was doing your thing, because I didn't know what
it's
it was.
The worst franchise. Don't get me started.
Oh,
it's the worst Saw. But do you like
it's
any
of the
Saw?
It's the worst franchise. Oh, okay. The whole franchise is garbage.
Yeah, it's torture porn.
The first movie is probably interesting.
Yes.
And then from then on.
That's how I feel. Garen, your thoughts?
No.
You don't even like the first one.
If that movie didn't have that twist, we would not be talking about this movie at all, ever again. The acting is atrocious.
I don't disagree with that.
That twist is cool, but that's all it's got.
Yeah, you're
right.
But
did you know Spiral is from the Book of Saw?
Oh. Close that book.
The Book of Saw.
When you say the twist, is that what Chubby Checker is going to sing at the Rock?
Come on, baby.
Something from Saw? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's exciting. Go ahead. Go.
All right. John Carter.
John Carter.
The famous sci-fi flop John Carter.
Yeah.
Based on John Carter from Mars, I believe.
Of Mars, yeah.
Yeah. Judge Dredd.
That's Sly Stallone, is it not?
Yes. Sure
is.
Yeah. Well, there's two versions.
They rebooted it, too. Yeah.
Who was it? Who, Brian Bosworth?
That was Carl Urban.
Right? Yeah, Carl Urban.
Oh, we were trying to remember his name the other day.
Yeah. Carl Urban's getting way too much. He's going to die soon based on, on the Never Not Funny curse.
Oh. I will say the Carl Urban version better, but I think people argue that the Stallone version is more true to the comic book, maybe? I don't know. Who cares?
I can believe it. Stallone was terrible, though.
Yeah.
I don't... Really?
I am the law.
Jennifer's Body.
Ah. Mm.
Jacob's Ladder.
That's a Huey Lewis song. Yeah. Why would they put a song in?
And in the order that it was received, Jaws, then Jurassic Park.
All right, let's find out. Matt Belknap, please reveal your top five J movies. And, right. And how much is up for grabs here? 15? Or 10. Just 10?
$10.
$10.
I think I've got only one that has not already come up on the show.
Okay.
Maybe that's wrong. Maybe it was in the list. I forget. Number five, Johnny Mnemonic.
Johnny Mnemonic was number five. Now, just number one is what we're looking for.
That's
here,
correct.
Mm-hmm. Number four, Jack Frost.
There you go.
Not the comedy.
Not the Keaton.
Not the Keaton.
Scary.
The horror one.
I see.
I think that didn't come up yet, right?
No, it has not.
No, it did not.
Number three, Jeepers Creepers.
That was my third choice. If it, for some reason, I went third.
Now we get down.
Here we go.
To fucking business.
So somebody's going to win. That's my guess. Somebody's won.
Number two.
Yeah.
Jaws.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Number one. Daddy's making. I'm getting 10 bucks.
Number one. Wait a minute.
Play it.
Why say it when I can play it? That's right. It's Jurassic Park.
Wow. Wow.
Good job, Jimmy.
And you should eat a cookie right now.
Look at this. My arms are up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Look at this. I bring them down.
Look at that. Okay.
In time with the music.
Very good.
Like a metronome.
Joe, you don't know this about me. They call me the human metronome.
Is that right?
I can keep time better than anybody.
Now, have you ever gone toe-to-toe with a human beatbox?
I have not. He passed away.
Oh, damn. You missed it.
We lost him. We lost Humpy Frumpy or whatever his name was.
Buff
Humpy.
Love.
Buff Love.
Humpy Frumpy.
I forget his name. I forgot it.
You were close.
Pay me my money.
All right, I will. Here we go.
Yes.
Joe, what we do here, we count it out by fives.
Right.
We have a five, so mm-hmm. we all do it together. And
five.
And
excuse me.
Oh, shit.
Excuse me.
You got number,
once
you got
again,
number one.
Matt Bell now.
I forgot that it was a doubled week. I apologize.
Should we maybe put the five back?
Yeah,
so
we
got to count it right.
Wow,
yeah.
That's bad right. producing. Wow. And it's average an comedy.
Hey, wait.
Just stealing your joke for no reason. It doesn't even make sense in the context. And
five. Ten.
There well we done. Go.
I'm yes. going to put that in my pocket and purchase something with it.
Very
That's
good.
A good idea.
Smart. Thank you.
Well, it's still like worth a snack? Something. A drink? What are you going to get?
I'll probably get a drink and a snack.
Okay.
I'll get a power bar, probably a Bear Bell.
Mm, sure.
And then I will probably get a I'll probably get a Coke Zero.
Try this new heard about this new bar that makes you horny.
Oh.
Isn't her aphrodisiac bar?
You know what? I'll try it. I hear it's spicy.
By the way, that Mosh product is still
going. Mosh, the Schwarzenegger Shriver collab.
Oh, it exists?
Yeah. You still buy it. Also, I did buy his and her aphrodisiac bars. I had to.
And
yeah, dog shit. But expensive dog shit but I'm glad I have it. We had to buy like a pallet basically and we gave them out to our friends because I was like, when this came out, I was like evangelizing about this segment. Like, it wasn't on YouTube yet, so I like put it on Dropbox and was like sending it to people because I needed everyone to see his and her an aphrodisiac bar. And I was handing them out to my friends, and yeah, and we all got horny and fucked each other.
Oh, wow. Excitement.
Yeah, fuck a key party.
But we got like a tiny little easel, and we put like the it's like a square bar, and so we put this little bar on the easel on the shelf. So we got a little spicy granola.
Love it
for fucking.
That's the name. The voice is Joe Quizzala. He's got the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast. You can find that wherever you get your podcast, right, Joe? You're not hiding that from people?
No, not hiding it. And also, you know, if you would like a comedy content, you can also find that, you know, that's usually what I do.
Yeah.
To be clear, we focus on the Rock Hall, but, you know, I am out here yucking it up.
Idiots. Joe's great. You ever have a chance to see Joe, you certainly should take advantage of that opportunity. He's hysterical. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for supporting the program. We appreciate you, each and every one of you. So on behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, looking over there, the three-time center, that's Garen Cochran. Behind Video Village, that's him, the shoe doll story, Elliot Hopeberg. The unable to count to 10, Matt Belknap. And, of course, the horny Joe Quizzala. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone, Not Forgotten.